This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy, ripping you a news one.
Well, hello and welcome to Some News on FUBAR Radio. I'm Steve N. Allen. That is Eric McIlroy. This is the show that's going to be looking at the various things that have been happening in the news. Before we even start with the stuff that's happening today, it's time just to wrap up the kind of week we've had. With various things that have been in the news. Well, wild boars in Britain are apparently becoming so aggressive they're hunting lambs in packs. Without thumbs, how do they open those packs? Good question.
I like that one. Jeremy Clarkson could be given an executive minder after his alleged physical and verbal assault of his Top Gear producer. A better option would be an ASBO.
Richard III gets buried again in Leicester. To be buried in Leicester once is forgetful. To be buried in Leicester twice is carelessness.
This morning, the world pays respects for, I'm going to try and say it, Kee Kwan Yew, the founder of Singapore, a man known for his strength of character, vision, and his campaign against bubblegum.
Kee Kwan Me? What? More than 9 million adults in England can't swim, but when you remember that Rolf Harris was the face of the Learn to Swim campaign, you really can't blame them.
Patty Ashdown says Alex Salmond's new book about the final 100 days of the independence referendum campaign is literary masturbation. It's called 100 Shades of Tartan.
And at a diner in McDonald's, someone felt a crunch when she bit into a McMuffin and spat out a metal bolt. A metal bolt! Apparently it could have been worse, as she is allergic to nuts.
Tory MP Anna Sobury said Salmond's plan to influence Labour after the election is the most frightening thing she's ever heard. Hasn't she heard her party's platform? Am I right?
Look at you, something, 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 food banks, something.
I have to admit that I tweeted that gag, and it got, for me, a lot of retweets, which is more.
How many did you get?
Seven! Which proportionally, because you've got the big old Twitter following, you know, that would be like a bajillion for you, because Mr. Steve N. Allen has a lot of Twitter followers. I don't.
Well, thank you very much. No, but you'll have more now. You're just going something, something, something right wing being evil.
But the thing was, is that it was nice to get the retweets for a gag. And but then people started tweeting me back comments about social commentary stuff, which I don't understand. Because I like politics, but I don't
pay attention
to it. I don't really care. I'm not that passionate about it. Like, I don't do the stand up for some political party gigs that are, there's quite a few of them. Because I just would get irritated by the fact that everybody's on the same page and I would start reading the Tory manifesto and screaming in their face. It would irritate me.
I can't judge you for going for the cheap shot tweets, because someone actually said recently I did a joke and it was like, you know, most jokes I tweet are all the same format. Right, there. My two are either, here's a sentence that applies to two things. Actually, I once did a tweet about general puns. I said, I did something the other day that could be described by a word that has two meanings. As it turns out, it was the other meaning, which is just how all of my jokes work. But I did the reveal situation. Like, it's one of Freud's categories of humor, right? Yeah. There's the substitution of a concept by a hitherto unheard of concept. And it was, someone was telling me about how sex is the best exercise. I said, yes, sex is the best exercise. And yet, for some reason, I was banned from that gym. Same deal. I did that tweet, and I'm so willing to do the cheap shot tweets.
That's why he was driving the bus.
Write that one down.
Sex, right down. There we go. Get it.
Sell that joke. Yep. It'll be on the front of a gift card before you know it. So, hello, this is Some News, the show that rips apart news with some obvious pullback reveal style jokes. Oh, I've given away too much. And so, as we start the show, we're joined by Sam, the producer. How's it going, baby?
Very well, baby. Thank you.
This is nice. We've bonded. We needed this all along. So how's your media career going? Are you big and famous yet?
No, not at all.
Because with you, this is the thing. With you being a producer on this show, but being a broadcaster in your own right, at some point, you're going to get too big.
I don't know about that. I'll still
Are you saying
up.
He's gained weight?
No, yes. That's the beauty of radio. Trust me, I once did an overnight show on a radio station and gained about 3 stones from it, because it was a music station. So you sit there and say something cheesy, you know, kind of like, what a great song on the way via Westlife next, and then just eat chocolate. And you just do that for 5 hours. And why am I fat all of a sudden? So yeah, watch out for that. Word from the person who didn't have a great career, but at least I ate a lot.
Okay. Are you advising, if I don't have a great career, eat a lot? Is that the way to do it?
Yeah, well, my advice is, if you find yourself on a middle-of-the-road music station with no hopes of a career, come for eat.
Right.
Only way through okay. it. Yep.
And
I those have regrets.
Those things are mutually exclusive. I can't eat loads, be big, but also have a really great radio career.
No, exactly. Right. No, if you want to be big in radio these days, you have to have worked on TV, and for that, you need to be slim.
Very true.
So, yeah. Not that I'm bitter about the fact that all the good radio jobs go to people who used to be on TV.
You've been on TV.
Yeah, do you know what? They're not dishing out loads of radio jobs to someone who's been on London Live 3 times.
I was going to say CCTV.
CC. Yeah, I've been on hey, Pullback Reveal. Hey!
Is that the theme of the Today Show, is the Pullback and Reveal?
I did a show yesterday as well, and I did that kind of joke. What was it? There was an actress on the front page of one of the newspapers said there's no shame in nude scenes. It was like, yeah, no, there's no shame in appearing like naked on camera. It's like, yes, there is no shame in appearing naked on camera. And yet I was informed that is why they installed the CCTV. Pull that reveal, that's all I do. So, Sam, you're the man with the aim for this show. You have the foresight and the vision that saves us from just sitting here doing pullback reveals for 3 hours. What's happening in today's show?
Well, I hope that we'll be working our way through the papers from the serious to the silly.
Yeah.
I understand Eric wants to talk about the eclipse, and I'm interested to know where that'll fit in, the serious or the silly, because to me, we should just be forgetting about it now. But that's just me.
You're not a big fan of celestial things? Were you miffed because you saw cloud? Is that what it was?
Correct.
Yeah. I was in the north. I'll show you my picture. I've got a picture of it.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I'll tweet it.
And if you can show me a picture, then that justifies why we're talking about it. But as it stands, to me, it just doesn't make sense.
There's nothing quite like having a picture to show to justify something being on radio.
Well, we could tweet it.
Yeah. We're multimedia.
At Fubar Radio.
I just want proof that it actually did happen. That's all. Because
I think it was a big con, a Daily Mail con.
Exactly. Moon landing.
Exactly, it could be staged. The pictures I've seen, do I know they're coming from the moon, or could it be some studio in Hammersmith?
That's true. That's true. I mean, I could have photoshopped. What I'll show you later on, I could have photoshopped. So even then, and I am not trustworthy, so I would not believe me either. So you make a good point. It is valid.
And I think it'd probably be more like Pinewood Studios, not Hammersmith.
Okay, all right.
I mean, if you're gonna go there, you should do the research.
All right, I'm sorry. Well, there is some. I'm sure there is studios.
Slam, look at that. Ooh.
It's early. It's early days.
So vicious. Look at this.
Hey, I'm not punched him. I'm still not letting that go.
You've not Clarkson'd yet. That's true.
Clarkson'd me yet.
What else kind of business do we have to deal with in the news today?
Well, we'll be finishing the show, of course, with the definitive word, which is kind of your guys' chance to put the world to rights.
It's one of my favourite bits of the show, by the way.
Yeah?
Because I don't have to write for it at all, and you do all the work for that.
Yeah, you just say what comes to your head.
Oh, no, it's amazing.
He doesn't often do work for it either. He often has other people type it up for him.
What is with it, you two today? What is...
Sorry. That was one time. That was it. Just the once.
Once is enough. That's what my... Never mind.
We'll be also doing Agonise, which today was easy to put together because I have got access to my generic paper account.
Excellent.
Copy and pasted.
He copied and pasted. Did you copy and paste using the mouse functions, or did you Control-C, Control-V?
Control-C, Control-V.
Minimal work.
Yes.
Loving
it. Nothing like easy plagiarism.
Well, I do change some things in there.
Okay.
Like, you know, like your I substitute your names in there, yeah, after deer.
Yeah, beautiful.
That is excellent.
To be fair, a lawsuit would be the publicity that we need to launch this show.
Yeah, that's true. We could work on that. Yeah. We could get sued.
I'm working on some libelous stuff later on.
You're such a political comedian. You put the word labour in a sentence when it clearly does not fit grammatically.
Tory party, bad. Labour, good.
Yeah.
Lib Dems, finished.
Bedroom tax.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's just so true. That you think that's an obvious thing, the pullback reveal. Just stand on stage and just, yeah, food banks. Really is. There's more meat to put our face around in some of the stories. What's on the agenda today?
Well, I should say we will have some people on the phone, hopefully, providing everything goes to plan. We'll be speaking to TV gardener Chris Birdshaw, because apparently we're all jealous of people's gardens. 56% of us look at our neighbour's garden and go, oh, that's all right. And I'll look at ours and go, that's rubbish.
Yeah. I'm going to go for it. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. So this is going to be a show that deals with wisdom. I'm not ready for that.
My neighbours have better gravel.
It's a tough life,
isn't
it?
Gravel is always gravelier.
Gravel and cleaner.
In our neighbourhood.
Have you got any oil patches on your gravel? Oh, I hate an oil patch. Don't get me started.
No, we park on the street.
And you're so hardcore. Yeah.
And to take us even highbrow again, we have another doctor, another actual doctor on the show.
Of course. Now, previously on the... I mean, thank you very much. You've been getting us some great academic guests. And every single week, I've been trying to suggest a paper that we could co-write, we could co-author. Yeah. They could put their names first. I'm not like some diva about this. And most of them have been throwing it back in my face.
Try again today, then.
Okay. What this doctor, what's the specialism?
Well, I think it's nutrition again. We'd be talking to Dr. Becky Spellman, because apparently we're all thinking about food way too much.
Okay.
The stats I have are actually on females, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it before we speak to Becky.
Because normally you have it on paper when you bring it in. Eh? See what I mean? Substitution of original concept.
It is on paper, but the stats are suggesting that women think about food too much.
Right.
I'm sure that applies for us as well. I'm going to find out, and then we'll speak to Dr. Becky.
Does Spellman. To me currently, because I'm on my diet.
So I'm going to have food. Yeah, I'm going to have an input on this as well, because I might not be. I mean, she's done all the book learning, but I have eaten a lot, so I think I could be quite the expert when it comes to food. We should co-author Becky, if you're listening already. Get ready for this. We are going to be. She can have top billing. Don't get me wrong. She's a doctor.
You want her on?
I've got brackets top. DJ after my name. That does not help at all. Sweet. Sounds like we've got a show. I can't wait to lock and load and make this stuff happen. Sam, thank you very much. You've pointed us in the right direction.
Thank you.
So before we kick on, Eric, have you had a good week?
Yes.
Anything exciting happened during the week?
I was trying to prep for this part of the show to come up with something exciting.
Because so far, week after week, you've just gone...
We're going on holiday next week, so I won't be here for the next 2 weeks, which I know is going to be difficult for everyone. Okay, but I'll be in America, and you know, just a little dose of freedom and guns.
I spent this week up north with my family, and when I come back from the north, I have more of a northern accent. Are you worried that when you come back in 2 weeks' time, you'll sound like some kind of an American?
Ooh, less a Canadian, which is the kind of the affliction that I have, because I don't have a proper like drawl or anything.
I got a voiceover sent through, and they wanted three versions: excited, right. Normal, and then American. Right, and I did normal.
How is American not normal?
Okay. That is, well, you know why. But I did four versions because the first American I did, seeing as on this show every single week I've done that American voice, right? It was like this excited, like raceway, blah blah blah, you know, monster cars, amazing stunts, and those things. And I did that voiceover in the "Why I do declare, monster cars, terrible stunts. Oh, I feel ashamed."
Did you send that to them?
Yeah. I don't think they used that one.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Well, good morning. I'm Steve Allen. That's Eric McIlroy. And welcome to some news on FUBAR Radio. Let's delve into some of the stuff that's been happening. Richard III, Leicester welcomes King's remains. Yes, Richard III he's in Leicester. He's been buried in Leicester. And, I mean, as if he's not suffered enough. I mean, having a car park. I mean, I've never been a king. I should light this out early doors. I've never been a king, but I imagine being found in a car park in Leicester in such a state must be very embarrassing. Having his dodgy remains dug up. And they buried him again in Leicester. Truth. I mean, no offense, Leicester, but you know what I'm talking about. Although I do imagine if you have a car park on top of you, no wonder he was dead. I'm not a doctor, but that's... Ooh.
It's not advised.
Yeah, especially with his bad back. Sorry. Oh, I'm doing
did
such
you just
rubbish.
Amuse yourself?
I didn't think of that before. I did not think of that before. All of the times we've written for various topical things, and I've never done a Richard III bad back joke.
That is shocking. That is shocking.
His funeral cortege entered the city at the historic Bow Bridge after touring landmarks in the county. Was it a short trip?
I mean, hasn't he seen it all before, like when it wasn't even a landmark? Like, he saw it pre-landmark. Like, he doesn't need to see it now.
Yeah, I remember when it was all fields around here, that kind of. Like, he's one of those guys.
I mean, he's got to be, I mean, he's getting on a bit.
Over 500 years ago, isn't it? Cannons were fired in a salute to the king at Bosworth, where he died in 1485. Then again, we've all been to Leicester and died if you're a comedian. No one fires cannons when I do that. They throw things. I was amazed that this has been front page news. I thought this would be one of those small kind of like, oh, the remains of an old king were reburied in the Midlands.
Yeah.
And this is proper. People are really excited about this. And I guess this is good. Well, obviously, we're going to diss them and make light of it because that's kind of what the show is. But it's interesting. I suppose it is. I was thinking about this on the tube on the way in. Oh, and by the way, Uncle Eric on Twitter wanted to know if I got a seat on the tube on the way in. Mate, nailed it. Let me give this. C2C train. Got a seat, yeah? Changed at Barking. Got a seat in Hammersmith and City, yeah? Piccadilly line. Guess what?
You got a seat.
You did it. I don't know how you managed to work that out. Well,
was that, you know why? It's because you came in earlier.
Yeah, a little bit earlier. C2C, beautiful. Yeah,
that's the trick.
So, are you as an American person at all bothered by King Richard III?
Nope, not at all. I mean, you know, the plays were good.
Yeah,
I liked the play.
I didn't see the first two.
No. It's not like the Lethal Weapons. It got better.
Right. Oh, no, this did. I mean, Richard the First and Second, who's ever heard of them? And yet, Richard the Third, everyone's all excited about it.
Awesome. I don't have any feelings. I don't think he had a lot of opinions on America or about our independence or anything.
Did he not? Did he never?
I don't think he was. He was not against American independence.
I guess very much like our monarchy now, they try and remain quiet on certain issues.
Yep.
He never spoke. He did once. I remember he had a massive rant about it being a hard day's night. And, you know, he'd been working a lot.
He did.
And he needed to sleep. I seem to remember the main points. With his bad back, I'm not surprised.
Oh, that makes you cranky. I know. I've lived with people with bad backs. It is not pleasant.
So, you're of the opinion. I mean, we were both of the opinion that this is pointless. We're just reburying. And there can't be much of him left.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, it's basically a KFC bucket's worth of stuff, isn't it? In fact, this is Leicester, and you know what it's like on a Friday night. There's probably more remains of KFC things around that city than there are. And I'm not being particularly harsh to it, but it's just not as good as Nottingham, because I'm a Nottinghamshire lad.
You're being a bit harsh. So, is that why? Because there's a Nottingham-Leicester rival?
No, there's a Nottinghamshire-Derbyshire one, and I'm trying to make a Nottinghamshire-Leicestershire one. Because I think we've beaten the Derbyshire side of it. Win. Already hashtag win. So now I'm picking on Leicestershire. Well done. So, I'm very surprised that this even makes it to the front pages.
What I love is how anime. I mean, apparently people in York are really—they're angry about this. They're saying this was a pantomime. This was just—it makes this one woman, Louise Holiesworth, I can't even say her name, posted on Facebook that it was just undignified, money-grabbing pantomime. And I thought she was going to be complaining about the entire thing, but she's complaining about it because it's not happening in York. I mean, that's amazing to me. I mean, when it was 500 plus years ago. Let it go.
Get over it.
I mean, all to be fair, I still get shtick about the fact that, you know, people being a little bit late to a World War or two.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We've been pretty early to all the ones since.
True. You're making up for it.
Making up for it.
I didn't realize that he was quite the radical king, though, Richard III.
Was he? Was he apparently radical?
Well, radical for his time, which was very easy to be radical 500 years ago, one would imagine. I mean, these days, if you want to be radical, you've got to stand on stage and say, food banks. But the king introduced the revolutionary legal principles of bail, blind justice, which is a great film, and presumption of innocence.
Another film, isn't it?
These are all great Al Pacino films, I think. There are ho-ha! I think when he did Richard III, Al Pacino as Richard III, ho-ha! My back! I can't do it.
Ho-ha! Bedroom tax!
The political comedy is coming thick and fast on here. So do you give an absolute flying poop about Richard III being buried? Or is it part of the history? As a nation, it's very difficult to be proud of in English history because it kind of gets a little bit awkward.
Well, I think he's far enough back that you can be proud of that, because you can't be proud of the empire because of, like, you know, guilt and racist stuff. But this is far enough back that it was all just kind of like white-on-white violence, which makes it okay.
Oh, that's right then.
That's okay.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with the show and give us your opinion on this, 0330-223-0200. You can tweet at FUBAR Radio, and it's steve@fubarradio.com if you want to send an email. So, yeah, and the idea of reburying bones, I do feel sorry for him. I suppose he's dead now. He's not going to mind. Yeah. But Leicester seems like a weird place. He was the king of the entire place. I don't know how much of England was together back then, because I did geography GCSE, and I'm sure they teach you everything you need to know during history GCSE. I did not do it. Yeah. So I don't know the history, because I didn't do history GCSE, I did geography, so I know that Leicester's not a great place. They teach that, it's on the syllabus. You do Oxbow Lakes, you do hill sheep farming, and then you do Leicester's not a great place.
It was actually on the citizenship test as well, but I don't want to pick on him.
Do they do multiple choice?
Yeah.
Is Leicester A a great place? Is Leicester A shithole, or B.
You did A twice.
Yeah,
you
no, because of AE shithole. I was making it a sentence, but I was putting a colon in, which actually, if you're going to put a colon in any sentence, one that's got that S-bomb in, is very appropriate. So you can give us your, if you are up on, if you think there's, which monarch would you like to see buried? We know where that would go on the Twitter. At FUBAR Radio, you could send an email to steve@fubarradio.com. And your phone calls, 0330-223-0200.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Well, hello, good morning. I'm Stephen Allen, and that is Eric McIlroy. This is some news on FUBAR Radio, the show that delves into the news and sees what has been happening and stuff. I was sounding really clever until the end of that sentence. Darn it.
And stuff.
Stuff. Always give it away with the word stuff or things. I have so many, I used to, when I had a Windows computer, I had so many folders that were called stuff and other stuff and then old stuff. Yeah, it's not a good filing system. There we go. We are learning on the show today. Let's delve into the next story. What eclipse? Twitter erupts as it's more of a washout than a blackout for millions who said it was just another thundery day. In January. What am I not understanding about that? Am I...
I think someone's made a typo there.
Yeah.
Sam!
What day is this? How long was I out?
I think his cut and paste function is not working properly. It's changed the month.
Yeah.
Can it do that?
Probably. I think it's one of the things in Excel. So, we seem to be, again, split on difference of opinion. There was a solar eclipse took place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were where?
I was down south. And
I've heard of that.
And of the United Kingdom. And it was just another day in Britain. It was cloudy and dark.
And cold as well, wasn't it?
Yep.
I heard tell that it got colder when the sun went away. Did you think at any point it was magic and that the big sky monster wanted to kill us all and you had... Did you sacrifice a virgin again?
You could see nothing.
What a waste.
In London. There was no... The clouds were too thick. It seemed slightly potentially darker, but it was one of those things where you look out and it's like, is it slightly darker? And then 10 minutes later, it's like, oh, this is the peak of the eclipse. I can't tell. It was so gradual and gradient, if I can use that word.
I don't know if you can.
I don't know if I can. That it was a letdown. But you, in the north, which is notoriously extra weather shit, you saw this thing.
It's amazing. I didn't. I had no plans to pay attention to this. I was like, I don't care. Sun, moon, and me. But my dad, I was up visiting my dad, and he said, "Oh, started." And I had no idea what he was on about. He didn't use nouns these days.
Did he actually up it? Yep. Did he say that, your father?
He does. He didn't in that sense. He was like,
really?
Yeah. But he would say it started.
He's so regional.
And so am I when I'm up there. So as I travel back down the M1, I have to sit in the car going kind of like, the rain in Spain rains mainly on the plane. Just so I can blend in again.
You fair lady yourself?
I fair lady myself, yes. I pull a right Professor Higgins... they're not marbles in my mouth. What? So I saw it. I was up there. My dad said, "Oh, the eclipse started." I looked up. Well, I didn't look up because I know not to look up. And this is one thing. If I have some beef about the eclipse, it's that on the run-up, every TV outlet, every radio station were going, "It's going to be the eclipse tomorrow. And whatever you do, make sure you don't stare at the sun with your naked eye." Whoa! If you need the advice to not stare at the sun, you should not receive the advice, don't stare at the sun. We should let it happen. We should make people who are that stupid stand on the edge of a cliff.
Right.
Stare at the sun. Mm. Knock yourself out. Enjoy it. And then we'll turn you around a few times and go for a walk.
And maybe they could be trying to take a selfie as well. So you can capture the moment.
Yes. A selfie stick. But then I suppose if you took a selfie with you, you'd have your back to the sun. And then you'd be doing a shot from below.
That person's worth surviving.
Oh, we'll keep those in society. Oh, God, imagine a society of people who use selfie sticks.
But you did.
That's what we live in.
We're going to retweet this now because Steve did, just as proof that there was slight cloud break in the north, you've got a picture of it, of the eclipse and the cloud break, which I love that the cloud break is so small.
Yeah.
It's like someone poked a hole through.
It was nice. There was like this whole sheet of cloud with one small gap. And Dad was saying, "Oh, there's the eclipse." And you couldn't really tell. And then just as it was roughly around 9:30. So that was about the peak, the zenith of the thing. It's about 10% sun there, which is what you normally get in the north anyway. So we were fine. And the gap in the cloud just moved over where the sun was. Beautiful. So if you'd like to see the picture of what the total eclipse, no, the 10% eclipse looked like, from the town of Sutton-in-Ashfield in Nottinghamshire. And who doesn't want to know what that looks like?
Who doesn't?
Have a look at the Twitter account, at Fubar Radio. There is a picture there. It does look like the end of days a little bit, doesn't it? That dark cloud.
Yeah. It's a good. It's actually not a bad photo. I mean, considering it wasn't taken from an iPhone or Mac device, you did pretty well.
Thank you very
much. Pretty well with that. I mean, your whatever it is, technology.
Android can just about capture the end of days.
Just about.
What was? I can't remember why I tweeted some facetious comment, didn't I?
What did?
Mr. Stephen Allen, I've said here's hashtag Eclipse2015 in Sutton in Ashfield. Great, that's my chance to get a tan ruined.
That is the best impression of me.
Yeah, that's exactly what you sound like.
I have ever heard. You're not quite getting the northern accent. Remember, when I sent that tweet, it would have been, here's what Eclipse looks like from Sutton in Ashfield. Great. That's my chance of getting tan ruined.
I really want to meet your family now.
No. So, yeah, I mean, do you care about the eclipse? Is it the kind of thing where I did watch this morning with Russell Grant giving it some... Of course, this eclipse is going to affect... The eclipse affects nothing. It freaks out some birds somewhere sometimes, but not if there's too much cloud. It doesn't do anything. The celestial rubbish, the astronomy lark. Don't be giving me all that jip. But it looks nice, doesn't it?
Yeah. I know that you're going to be skeptical because that's what your astrological sign indicates. But I don't know what your sign is. Well, I liked that they had did you see the coverage on the BBC? They had the scientific coverage they had included Dara O'Brien.
Right. What was he giving it?
he was talking about the eclipse and kind of, you know, taking people through it. But I liked that he was the science expert. So maybe because you've got a science background.
Yeah.
And you're Hare Lee and Pard.
We are relatively...
Hairily impaired?
What?
Hairishly impaired.
Which language do you speak?
I don't know.
We're similar. When I used to have a bit more weight on me, I looked very Dara-ish, didn't I? We have a similar hairline, similar face. Mm-hmm. He's physics, I'm chemistry. We're the tag
this
team.
This is it. This is going to be your way into the... Because you mentioned the TV thing, so you can get the radio gig you really want, other than the food bar, which you're very happy to have, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Loves it here. But if there was a TV job happening, I'd be there. But yeah, if we could find a fat, bald comedian who does biology, between the three of us, we could teach balanced science GCSE on telly, obviously, because we need the work. He doesn't, but I do.
Yeah,
I did see one tweet from someone who was saying, because the great thing about the eclipse is that the moon is 400 times nearer than the sun. Yep. The sun is 400 times bigger. So they roughly, I mean... You can still see behind it. Let's not get, you know, too. But I saw someone tweeting going, the moon is 400 times nearer. The sun is 400 times bigger. Professor Brian Cox says that's just a coincidence. Yeah, yes, it is. It is.
I thought it was an interesting coincidence. I mean, how did they get, I mean, just for that day, how did they get those numbers to be the same?
It's amazing. Well, they got Tesco's accountants to sort it. if you are a big fan of intelligent design, why would God go to the hassle of it? You know what would really make this planet look good? Maybe if it has a satellite and then we make it like the same, it kind of blocks out the sun every so often. Why? So you can scare the crap out of the little...
Yeah.
What? The power.
Well, because it gave all these myths about why the sun was being eaten by wolves or a Hindu god that had his head cut off. It was all covered by Brian Cox and Darrow the more I watched the coverage, because there was nothing going on outside my house, so I had to watch it on TV. And on the internet, but I still have a TV license.
It's basically like porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing happening in your house. You have to watch it on the internet.
Yes.
What?
All my porn is moon-based.
Let me double check that.
I don't even know what I was talking about.
I don't know that
one. Yeah, it's not the sun getting
I think
eaten.
It's proof of God is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't. That's the thing. Because, you know, if the moon wasn't 400 times nearer, but was 450 times nearer, so it would be slightly bigger than the sun. Same myths. It does not need to fit like that. That is no evidence.
No. It's because he got the numbers exactly right that proves it's God. Because if it wasn't God, the numbers wouldn't match up. It would be like 399 times the size of the sun in the distance. And then the moon would be only 380 miles
away. You put it like that.
It would be different numbers.
So there are two types of people I'd like to see die. what we've got is people who need the advice, don't stare at the sun, you great cretin. And for the same people, you know, we could make a list of don't walk head on into traffic, don't put your face in a meat grinder, and other such lists. If you need any of that advice, you should be gone from society. And anyone who thinks, it's the number of 400 is the same in both, therefore it's...
I happen to like taking baths with toasters, so just leave me alone.
But the crumbs, I mean, they're bad enough in bed. This is why, it's what I don't get. If you're going to jump in a bath with a toaster, take the crumbs out.
All right, here's the thing. You're complaining about the advice about the sunglasses thing or not looking at the eclipse, right? Yeah. You live in a country that does not allow people to have mains in the bathroom.
Oh, right? That bothers me so. I've got an extension.
I mean, every country in the world, you can plug stuff into the bathroom and know that you're not supposed to then drop that into the tub. But in this country, to protect the British people, you fought, you saved the world with help from Nazism.
Even you admitted that earlier on in the show.
We were waiting for the moment. It's kind of like arriving at a party. Britain has done some great things, but you cannot imagine to stop yourself from that impulse of electrocuting yourself in the toilet.
Do you want me to tell you why that is?
Why? Tell me why, dear God, please.
I'll tell you why. Tell me why. Oh, it's lies. It is because... Move closer.
Leaning in.
It's because we've got 240 volts.
Yeah.
And I believe in Europe, they pack like a 110. Yeah.
America's 110, I think.
In America, you've got a 110 voltage, right?
Yeah.
Now... higher current, lower voltage, you waste so much power in the resistance of the cables, right? Higher voltage, lower current, same power, you save. And we are saving the planet by having 240 voltage. Now, the difference is 240 voltage will kill you. 110, come on, you great bunch of big girls'
blouses. Just to wake
me
up in the morning.
Exactly. You put that. There are politicians who have that on their nipples. So.
What?
Oh, have you never tried it?
Have you met Nicola Sturgeon?
Ooh. This show was... Oh, it's gone too far.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. You've got 110 over there, right? So you can put that in the bathroom. You could,
to warm it up, like an electric blanket.
Yeah, I'm a little bit cold. I'm going to touch some 110 voltage. When you've got some 240 voltage, like a proper country, you've got to be a little bit careful in the bathroom.
I think you're making this up. I mean, I understand the voltage thing is true, but I think is that the reason? It's because of the voltage?
Hey, if the numbers fit, then the reason must be believable. I refer you to the earlier comment about the moon, the sun, somehow, therefore, ergo, God.
If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. That is a retro reference.
For the young, because we're after that
we're
audience.
After the young who remember stuff that was cool in the 90s.
For people who think that the OJ isn't a drink, he is a criminal. He nicked some stuff. Went to prison for nicking stuff.
Yes.
He's a criminal. So, if you want to get in touch, give us your opinion. Do you think the eclipse, therefore, proves God? Why not? And to be honest, tweet. I'll reply to you later on. I'm sure we'll have a great time arguing about this. Tweet at FUBAR Radio. Email steve@fubarradio.com. And you can give us a call. Oh, not on that one, actually. Not on that one. No. If you need advice, right, don't call me to argue about religion. Why don't you shout it from the middle of, I'm going to go for the M26.
There's nothing wrong with people having a little bit of faith.
No, and I'd do it in the middle of the M26, if I were you. Because if you think staring at the sun's perfectly fine, why not try Lane 2, M26, Kent, small motorway. Not since it's small, but it packs a punch.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Good morning. Hello. This is Some News on FUBAR Radio with Stephen Allen and Eric McIlroy. And we delve into another news story.
Tory candidate suspended over vote-winning allegations. A Conservative candidate at the general election has been suspended over allegations he schemed with the English Defence League. Always a bad idea. To win votes, the Mail on Sunday reported that Afzal Amin plotted to persuade the EDL to announce a march against a new mega mosque in Dudley North and then scrap it and take credit for defusing the situation.
Firstly...
Mega Mosque.
Love the idea. Sounds like the kind of thing I'd get a voiceover to do.
Mm.
Available now in your all-new Mega Mosque. Call now.
Mega.
So as long as I'm making money, that's fine. I mean, normally you see a headline like Tory teams up with the far right and you think, but I thought Farage said no to a coalition. Oh, something about food banks. Although actually, on a side note, Farage says no chance of a coalition, but then said, these are the terms we'd want if there was a coalition.
Are you saying he's not an honest broker?
Capricious. Indeed, new word, capricious.
Googling that.
And they also said no cap on immigration, but then the other way around. Like, yeah, we want a cap on immigration, and what's the cap? Yeah, we don't want a cap on immigration. I'm just saying they're a little bit changeable. No, they're in two positions at once. They are like, you know, in quantum mechanics, how an electron can be in two places at once.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they are the political version of an electron in quantum mechanics, that it can be in two positions at once. What I'm saying is the difference is the electron feels like it's got more weight behind it. Oh, quantum mechanical slam. Who's with me? Well, no one. Okay, no one's with me.
Who are we appealing to with jokes like that?
Me. So, Afzal Amin, Tory candidate, suspended allegations. Here's the... How bad are the EDL at being racist that they team up with someone called Afzal Amin?
Not very good.
Not very good.
Not very good. That's why they're missed this. I mean...
I'm not saying they should be good. I'm just saying they're not very good.
Would you prefer that they were better at it?
No.
What are you trying to say now?
Pointing out a failure.
Yeah.
Well, do you know the details of his plan, though?
Yeah, it was gonna the plan. It's good. It's not a bad plan. I mean, it's they were gonna say, yeah, we're gonna protest against this march, and he was gonna come in and say, no, stop your protests, you racist scum. And then they were gonna, oh, we'll do what you say because you were in the military. And then they would run away, and then he'd be like, look, I saved wherever we are, so you should vote for me.
And then some local villager would turn up and go, take some money. No, I don't need your money.
And then he would...
Justice is its own reward.
Pull out a flute and take all the rats out of the town. And, okay. Yeah, it was...
I think we might have Googled the wrong page.
I think there's a number of pages we've mixed there. Plus, my accents changed throughout that story. But... or the voices. Yeah, I mean, it's a plan... It's a way to try and prove, but I don't know what the EDL would get out of it, which is, I guess, what they've gotten out of it now is they've embarrassed him, which kind of shows they're racist. Maybe that was their plan. Maybe the EDL, that was the plan all along. Like, we'll lure this guy in. We'll say, yeah, we'll work with you. We'll be nice to you. And he's like thinking, oh, the EDL has accepted me. Oh, I'm so happy. And maybe that's all he wanted was their acceptance. And then they've tricked him.
All he wanted was a hug.
What could have warned him that the EDL might not be trustworthy?
No, it is tricky. I do like, I mean, his original plan, you know, get a protest, stop the protest, go, look at me, I stopped the protest. It's the political version of, and I'm assuming everyone's done this. I wrote this down earlier in a coffee shop thinking, oh, I'll say this out loud and everyone's done it. But you know that thing where someone's sat near an open window and you go up to them and kind of push them a little bit, but then actually hold them so they're safe and then go, oh, I saved your life. That is the political version of that. Like, no one was going to kill this person anyway, but then you push them to a window, pull them back, and go, oh, I saved your life. That's exactly the same thing. There was no protest. He organises a protest, then stops a protest and goes, no protest. I saved your life.
Do you do that to a lot of people,
I do that
Steve?
To a lot of people. Okay. The voices in my head tell me not to do it.
Okay.
And then they tell me to do it.
Just going to move over here.
Okay. Nearer the window.
Away from the window.
Awkward. It's a good strategy, which I'm going to try in relationships, by the way. You cause a problem, and then you wish to have the credit for solving the problem. So,
yeah.
Hi, darling. Good news. I've just cancelled that hour session with two prostitutes. High five. Don't leave me, Hank. Darling, don't leave me, Hank. Why are you packing? Right. That will be the scene.
Just going to leave you hanging. Yeah, I mean, bless him. I mean, he's tried. I mean, it's all alleged, of course. We're not saying he's actually done this. It's alleged.
He's not listening.
He's not listening? Right. Hey, he could be listening.
He's busy.
Your EDL could be listening. If you are in the EDL,
don't call.
If you're not in the EDL, call us.
And if you don't call us, we will therefore assume.
No.
If you don't tweet that you like the show, we will assume you're in the EDL.
That's how you find them. It was like when Obama won election, you'd be able to. I was going to gigs like, who likes Obama? And if people didn't cheer. Racist. It was so easy back then, but now nobody likes Obama. He's not Tony Blair'd himself out yet, but he has lost some of that edge. Now people are looking at him going, dude, we know you're half white.
They're focusing on that side.
Focus on that side. It's not racist anymore. They're like, we dislike you like we dislike white politicians. That's how they're looking at him now.
Yeah, he's really you know, brought the nation together.
Yeah,
the Mail on Sunday was the one that broke this. I did, because they've claimed that they've got footage. And there's, in terms of what the EDL get out of it, there's claims that they've got footage that he said he would be an unshakable ally and help to bring their views to the mainstream. Now, I'd like to point out he's not done that. He's not even helped Clarkson keep his job, which would have been a step in the right direction. So I guess they've not got anything out of it either.
Mm. I mean, the thing is, I don't know if he needed to do that. I mean, it was a seat that was definitely winnable for them because Labour only won it by 649 votes.
Wow.
And the country... especially, I believe, wherever this is in the country.
Durham.
Yeah, it's definitely moved.
Was it Durham or Dudley?
Is there a difference?
It's You're outside, so offensive to my people.
It's outside of Zone 6, so I've really got no idea. But it's a more... They've drifted in a conservative way. So it was winnable without doing all this.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bad play. If he's done it, it's a bad play.
This just in, it's Dudley.
Dudley.
Yeah.
And Dudley is where?
It's in the Midlands. It's one of those. Dudley.
Okay. So is it racist-y around there?
For you, I love people in the South, their opinion of the rest of the country. It's just like, here's the South where the money is and everything, and then there's the rest of the racist nation.
No, I mean, there's definitely racist places in the South. I've been to Tenerife.
Yeah, to be fair, there is the EDL there. So you make a lot of good points. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Should you trust politicians then? Are we saying that they are untrustable, that they would team up with their own enemy to try and achieve something, like in a really great sci-fi film? Oh, man, they should make a film out of this. This would be good.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. An in-depth look at the EDL.
Get Louis III to do it.
I mean, yeah, it's obviously a bad plan. You shouldn't team up with people. Oh, no, that's the next story. Oops, I was looking at the wrong page. Never mind. I was going to bring in a line from the next story, which would have...
What was the line? Let's put it out of context.
About demonstrators first went to the George and Dragon.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Actually, no, it genuinely does, isn't it? If you want to be a proud Brit, you go to a pub named after our patron saint, which came from Turkey. Okay. We are good imports. Leave us alone. Yep. Have you ever been to the British Museum? So
that'll come into context later.
Yeah. Are we doing that one in the same thing? Because this is all about...
We can't go into
this
it,
is
yeah.
political. You should not trust politicians. Before we get to the actual Farage one...
Yep.
Lib Dems had trouble with funding recently. Yep. Again, it just makes you think, as soon as you put money and politicians in either the same room or the same sentence, something's going to go wrong.
Mm.
Expenses with UKIP. They had some trouble with expenses. Was it last week, the week before?
No, it was last week that it came out that it wasn't the politician, but it was her staff were inflating in expenses to the EU.
And you look at this, there's an expenses fiddle in UKIP, and you think, maybe they are a proper political party after all. They are heading in the right direction.
Exactly.
Got a lot in common with politicians.
Yeah, but I mean, you can see why people don't have any faith in politics. The Tories, this guy's in the Tories, who's done this possible deal with the EDL.
Yeah.
UKIP's got expenses problems. Lib Dems had something. Do the Lib Dems even count as a political party anymore? They're just trying to have a controversy just to stay in the game.
I imagine they're political, but not much of a party anymore. If you turn up there, it's about three people and all the fun's gone out of it.
They've got to be depressed.
This one guy at the back with one of those... of those party things.
You did that really well.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Equity card, well earned. If they're listening, they'll take it back. The Lib Dem, there were two problems with the Lib Dems, wasn't there? There's the party funding.
Yep.
And then there's also the paedophile hoo-ha. I don't even know what we could say about that.
Media outlet that I don't want to name check at the moment. Were they in television in the 70s?
Did you never see those episodes of Top of the Pops when they had Lib Dem politicians hosting? Hi, I'm a politician. Here's a great song by Usher Waddy Waddy. Did you not see that episode?
I didn't. No.
Oh, it's because you moved here.
After.
Ah.
That's after.
Ah.
I waited until all the they stopped all that, and then I moved to the UK.
Ah, good plan.
I was worried about myself.
This is why people have problems with immigration to the UK.
Well, because they wait till the bad shit's happened.
It's like, you don't
move in.
We survived the 70s in this country. We survived being chased around by... I mean, you get the Top of the Pops album 1976. These days, it's just a list of like things you managed to survive. And yet other people who come to this nation who didn't live through the 70s, don't know how lucky they were.
Hey, coming from America, we got earthquakes. Mm. Don't really have earthquakes here. Some schools, tornadoes, guns. I survived all that, so...
Radio One. There we go.
It's not the same.
I worry about the future. I worry about the future because they, like these days with, who's the breakfast show presenter on Radio 1? Grimshaw.
Okay.
I remember when they got rid of Moyles, got in Grimshaw, and there was a press release saying they did it because they wanted to make it more appealing to kids. If there's one thing you've done wrong in the past, Radio 1.
I would imagine they would not say it in a press release that way now.
0330-223-0200. Tweet to @FooBarRadio. And you can email steve@foobarradio.com as we continue with some news.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Morning, 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 morning. And...
good morning.
I'm Steve Allen. That's Eric McIlroy. This is some news on FooBar Radio. Let's delve into some more news. Not a good day for UKIP in the news.
What? Surprising.
London protesters chase UKIP leader Farage out of pub. He's... Nigel Farage? Not in a pub? Well, this is how is this not top story?
Actually, when you say it's not, it's bad news for them to be in the headlines, it's actually good news for them to be in the headlines because, you know, it's chased them into the headlines, basically.
Yeah, if it had chased exactly them into a pub, it's a double win. If he was chased out of a pub, did he still have a pint in his hand?
I would imagine. It's attached.
Because he's nicked the glass, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's like is it Abu Hanza who's got the claw hand?
The hook.
Hook. Claw. Why can't it be a claw?
I think there's a difference between... I think you're thinking of the Hooded Claw, who was like, I'll get you, Gadget. At no point, as far as I know, has Abu Hamza ever said, I'll get you, Gadget.
I think I can... Well, let's look... Maybe if you've seen that, tweet us at Fufar Radio. If you've got that clip, Inspector Gadget. This is interesting. This story, I think.
Well, so Farage, Dan the Queen said, and he was just, you know, just chilling out, having a drink, probably having some pictures taken of him having a drink, because that's, I think it's his hobby, drinking and having pictures of him taking a drink. And then, demonstrators turned up. Oh, this is the line that you saw, isn't it? Demonstrators first went to the Georgian Dragon, believing it to be Mr. Farage's local. Of course you would, because of the Georgian the Dragon thing.
Yep.
And then, so he's actually in the Queen's Head.
I like that they've name-checked the pubs in the story. It's a little bit of publicity for both of them.
They've name-checked the pub that he wasn't in as well.
I know.
That's a windfall for these people.
Makes the demonstrators look like they've actually done the research. Like, yeah, everybody, come on, let's go! And then can you imagine them all barrel into this pub because they were dressed up as superheroes and stuff and different costumes. And they're like, sorry, wrong pub. How embarrassing.
If you're in that pub, you're just having a drink. What? I'd like to imagine, if this was a 1960s sitcom type thing, then someone would be in the pub taking a drink. This procession, what was it called? I learnt this earlier on. It's the Cabaret of Diversity. Barges in and kind of, we want Farage, is there anyone? All right, and then they back out, and then someone looks at their pint and puts it down. Oh, I think I've had too much of that. That would be the punchline in a sitcom.
I think this is... They're demonstrating against him, which is fine. The place to demonstrate against him is at the ballot box. I think this is a waste of time. This is putting him in the headlines. This is making him sympathetic because his kids were there. They were scared. Although the way he handled it with his kids, I'm going to criticize a little bit.
But, okay.
I think this is wrong. This is the people who are going to support Nigel Farage are going to want to support him now because of these knobheads dressing up as goofy costume people and protesting the guy being in the pub. That's not the way to do it. Attack his policies. Don't attack the man.
Or don't attack his drinking. Tell him to do more drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to, nullify his political abilities, buy him more pints.
Yep.
And then he'd be drunk. Although when people get drunk, they do kind of spout political viewpoints
that are inappropriate.
Actually, maybe that's how they became a party. Oh, now I feel bad.
But it's the wrong kind of protesting. I think all the people that are just going after UKIP and then sort of pushing them into that corner are validating the opinion of some of the people who start to share some of their beliefs and think, oh, well, clearly we're doing something right because these people are protesting against it. It's the wrong thing to do.
There's the two ways when ever UKIP's point of view are just plainly attacked for being racist.
Yep.
Then you push people into a corner and make them defensible. But the other thing, and I don't think we've mentioned this on the show, whenever you get, and don't get me wrong, love James O'Brien, think he's a great presenter and whatever, but you should be listening to us right now. Whenever he interviews someone like Farage and then just cleverly and eruditely whips him into a confused state and then goes, well, I think I've actually proved really, and he adds sympathy because if you see this left-wing educated presenter making Farage look stupid, your general voter is going to be going, this guy's being beaten up by the media, and we don't like the media. And so, he's a bit of a genius at getting sympathy, isn't he?
It's good. He's good. I mean, and especially once you bring in the kids, that's not going to make anybody not vote for him.
Well, you say that. But when I read this story and apparently his kids were terrified and ran out, I was like, how do I get kids terrified to run out? Because if I could make kids leave public areas, if I could scare kids out of coffee shops, my coffee shop experience would be vastly improved.
Well, what you need to do is you need to start a political party. You need that political party to have slightly racist or
not
views
problem.
That could be interpreted to be racist.
Okay, I'll come
and
up with one right now.
And then you need to start to win a few votes, and then people will dress up as dickheads and come after you.
Brilliant. No, no more condoms because they're called French letters. There we go. Xenophobic attitudes, not a problem.
Yeah, but people in this country don't like the French.
Okay.
So that doesn't work. You need to pick a...
No more Turkish delight.
Turkish delight's tasty.
It's harder to be a racist political party than you'd imagine.
Not really. There's a lot of things you're dancing around that we should tackle in this show. They say there's room in media for right-wing radio in this country.
No.
We could be that.
No, I don't
could we do
be
that?
I don't want to be.
There's amazing right-wing radio in America. We could bring some of that over here.
What's the name of the fat bald guy?
Rush Limbaugh.
Rush, I want to limbar it up.
Yeah. You got
I'm getting there.
Half that.
I've got the Dara look.
But the thing, all right, this is where I'm going to be a little bit critical of Mr. Farage. Now, I do not agree with this protest. I think this protest was short-sighted, and you don't attack a man when he's having his family time, you know, whatever. I mean, they would probably say, oh, yeah, well, he attacks families, not letting them in the UK, but whatever.
It made some kids but leave a pub. I'm all in favor.
Yeah, well, the fact that you let kids... it's illegal for children in my home state in America to even be in a pub.
I'm coming with you on your holiday next week.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. But his children were so scared that they ran out, and he was quoted as saying, a relative has gone to look for them and they're not home yet. These people are scum. Now the thing is, he's not gone to look for his children. He sent a relative, not even said who the relative was. But he's taking the time to go talk to the media. Yeah. He's like, I don't know where my kids are. I mean, he's David Cameron this. Like, I don't know. David Cameron left his kids in the pub. Nigel Farage got his kids out of the pub. And then the kids eventually turned up later, but one of them was only 10 years old. Feral children running around aimlessly in Kent? I don't know. In London, we keep an eye on our kids.
In although Kent, the garden of England. They're having to run around the garden. What's wrong with that?
I guess good old family values, good old traditional, like, I don't know where the kids are.
Back in the old days where you could leave your back door open.
Yeah.
Let your kids run around all over the place. I mean, you know, now we know what happened in the 70s. All of that was a bad idea, but at least people did it. Proud of the protest organizer, Dan Glass, said the group was in fancy dress to stage a cabaret of diversity, including migrants, HIV activists, gay people, disabled people, and breastfeeding mothers. I don't know how you dress up as most of those.
I would imagine you have to undress to be a breastfeeding mother.
Even then, I'd struggle. I'd give it a go. But, how do you dress up as
as an HIV activist?
Yeah. It's just a T-shirt, isn't it?
It does seem like, yeah. UKIP or I don't know the guy.
How do you dress up as disabled people if you're not disabled without really taking the? You know what I mean?
That's going to be a little bit offensive, isn't it?
What was the name of that old comedian who used to Bernie Clift? Is it Bernie Clifton?
Stay there. I'm googling.
Keep talking. I'm googling Bernie Clifton.
Isn't that the guy that what's his name used to dress up as? No, I'm thinking of Man in the Moon.
It is Bernie Clifton. Have you never seen Bernie Clifton?
Is that he was not a real person, right? That was was he a real person?
Bernie Clifton, this just in, was a real person. Aaron.
Is he a British comedian?
He's a British comedian.
Yeah, that's before my time.
Bernie Clifton is a British comedian entertainer. He began a teenage career. I want the pictures. Show me the pictures. Anyway, he's the guy. There it is. Can I show you that?
All right, I'm looking. We're looking at this.
He famously those are his legs, and they're fake legs on the ostrichy, whatever that is.
So he was successful in this country doing that.
Don't judge.
Right? I don't. There's some things I don't understand.
What I'm saying is that technique, legs down there, the other legs.
Yeah.
Is that how you dress up as a disabled person without it being offensive? I don't know.
Are you calling people who ride ostriches disabled? Yes. I would imagine the people who can't say ostriches are disabled.
I'm heading towards two rubbish shows. No, I'm heading towards one rubbish
stand
show.
Back. Everyone, stand back. We've got some jokes coming up. Stand clear.
I think people who dress up as ostriches, yes, my political party would not let them in the country. You know where this is going, right? Shush. People who dress up as ostriches would not be allowed in my political party, which I'm going to have. They should be ostracized. Come on, you know it's going to happen with the
pun. I thought you were going to do something about putting their head in the sand.
Oh!
I thought you were going to go different directions, man.
Pretty good.
You got me. There's a whole range of ostrich political material. That's what the show should be. We're not going to right-wing this up. We're not going to left-wing this up. We're going to go
two-wing it. You got to two-wing it up. You got to ostrich-wing it up.
Sam, copyright that. He's not even listening.
He's not even listening.
He's the He's got Radio 1 on.
Oh, right. Fucking. Only to make sure they're not getting up to stuff that they shouldn't do.
You're copying us,
appealing
probably.
Appealing to kids.
We had two other stories we were going to talk about in that section. Did we filled our time?
We filled the time. I mean, should we do one of the shorts? We'll do a song and then we'll try and cram all the rest into the next one.
Well, yeah. We got eight stories for the next section, so brace yourselves.
I promise you, in the next section, I won't mention old sitcoms or Bernie Clifton.
Don't ever mention him again.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Good morning, I'm Steve Allen. That is Eric McIlroy, and welcome to Some News on FUBAR Radio. A stroll through the news and talking about it. This is why I'm not in charge of coming up with strap lines and things.
Yep. No, it was great.
Was it great?
Yep.
Into the stories.
We're all going on an ISIS holiday. In the West, ISIS propaganda seems focused on war and intimidation. Their primary messages are simply videos of brutality, firing squads, beheadings, and even the burning alive of a captured Jordanian pilot. But their latest propaganda involves something saying that the area isn't that bad. There's fun, food, and services. Have you seen the video?
Do you know, I didn't have the right signal to actually watch the video.
I watched it, and as I said, we're going on a holiday. We're going to do a little time in America, and on the way back, we're going to pop into the Islamic State.
Oh, that's nice, isn't
they've
it?
They've got a roller coaster, which is not something you normally associate with Islamic extremism, or any extremism, really, extreme fun.
Yeah!
But basically, they interview some kids, and they're like, so, are you happy living here in the Islamic State? And the kid's like, yeah, we're happy living here. But, I mean... I mean, you'd be saying that too. Like, yeah, you see your father over there? His head's not going to be attached to his body anymore. Are you happy, son? Are you happy? I mean, you can basically get kids to say anything. So it's not the biggest endorsement they could have. And it's pure propaganda. But I am going to say my issue with this, because you had an issue with their audio recording a couple of episodes back about them
If you've not heard it was indeed the title of one of the podcasts. If you have a look on iTunes for the podcast of this show, I believe it's a well-produced audio message. That was my beef. They called it a well-produced audio message. No jingles, no music beds, none of that thing that you hear that they do in all jingles, where they're talking and all of a sudden one bit will suddenly be on lower, kind of like phone quality bit. Phone quality for no reason. For no reason.
Yeah, it's not going to be quality brought to you by Skype.
Flipping ISIS.
Not there's anything wrong with Skype. But, so they're saying this is their propaganda video. They put all this effort into it. They're supposed to be the richest terrorist organization in the world, right? Mm-hmm. This is clearly, barely done on a phone camera, right? You want to talk about good propaganda films. Let's go back to the good old days. Nazi, Triumph of the Will, an incredible film. That's how you do it.
How many stars out of five?
Five stars. It was amazing.
How many points on those stars? Don't answer that. Do they have a strap line for this? So you can go to the Islamic State for a holiday. Everyone needs tourism.
Yep.
You've got to bring money in. And I guess they've not done well. I know they're rich, but if you need a tourist economy, you know, killing people doesn't help.
And they haven't even come up with their own name. It's called Al Butlins.
Do they have the strap line, come to Islamic State, things to do before you die?
You can do them all.
They put the word "just" in that sentence. Things to do just before you die.
I mean, I guess they're trying to show the lighter side. But I think if they want to show the lighter side of the Islamic State, they could stop doing things like, I don't know, blowing up mosques. That could be a start. That's just a suggestion. I'm just going to throw it out there.
If you are going to go around destroying landmarks of other civilizations, you are missing out on your tourist dollar.
Exactly.
Because I'm trying to think where I've... I went around Barcelona. They've got the Dali Museum.
Yep.
All right. It's a bit weird. I might not agree with all of his paintings.
You can't disagree with a painting.
But I wouldn't destroy him.
You can't disagree with a painting. That's not possible.
I'm a reasonable man. So okay. I went around Paris, Picasso Museum, right?
You're saying you don't believe in Picasso?
Don't really like what he did, right? The arm don't go there. You got an eye where a flipping ear should be. What's going on? I don't agree with it. Wouldn't destroy it. Because I am not like ISIS.
But he was very popular with the ladies, Picasso, according to some film or something I watched.
Was it a film or was it the porn parody?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about
What happened in this film? Was it The Rebel with Tony Hancock?
No.
Have you never seen that?
I don't know that film. Can you Google it for me? Is there an ostrich involved?
There's no ostrich in that. He's, really? It's, you know, Tony Hancock.
Yeah.
Hancock's Half Hour and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a film where he plays this artist who's rubbish and then he gets famous and stuff.
Okay.
It's great. Genuinely.
That's my dream.
That's a dream. But he's not in comedy.
No, to be a rubbish artist. That's my dream. I think I'm getting there.
Everyone says that stand-up comedy is an art form.
Yep.
And I'm going cubism on that. It makes no sense. No one likes it yet.
You call it a knob gag. I call it a nose gag.
Because it's in the wowzers, which explains the smell. So that's what, if you are looking for a holiday, why not head to the Islamic State? Do you know what? I'd love to see Craig Doyle. I used to do the holiday show on BBC One.
Why are you mentioning all these people? I don't know.
Judith Chalmers. I don't want to do the joke about Judith Chalmers. I'd rather do it about Craig Doyle.
Okay.
Imagine I'd talk about Craig Doyle, but you know Judith Chalmers. Used to present Wish You Were Here.
Yeah.
I'd love to see her go and review this place. Because then she'd... But I actually quite like Judith Chalmers. Craig Doyle, don't give a crap about. So let's imagine we send him over there to see how...
Piers Morgan.
Yeah, he didn't really host Piers Morgan. I'll tell you what else. What? Bedroom Tax. But if we're talking about various protests, we'll deal with this one as a separate story. Newcastle Quayside National Action Protest, 9 arrested. So this, I think, links into this, because protests, the idea of this whole burning of flags and whatnot, 9 people have been arrested after flags were burned during a far-right demonstration in Newcastle. Where do you stand? Where do you stand on burning flags?
I have no problem burning flags. I think that that's the whole thing. Is you should be able to burn protests. It's political freedom of speech.
Energy prices these days. Sometimes you've got a choice. You've got to stay warm.
If it's a polyester flag, boom, it's going to go up quickly.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know what they make flags out of these days.
We've shut the fox early doors. We just need to start making flags out of non-flammable materials. All of a sudden, there's no debate about burning flags.
There you go. Non-flammables.
Patent that, would you? Would you put a copyright, put a patent application in on the non-burning flag?
Sam, sort it out.
Oh, actually, also, while you're putting the patent in for the non-burning, you know those birthday candles that when you blow them out, they come back on again? Flags made out of that. Just, you know, for the protester who wants to celebrate.
That's true. I cater to both markets. We have the non-burnable flag and then the very burnable flag.
Non-extinguishable one, yeah. Blow them out, make a wish.
What we could do is every other flag is soaked in petrol, so they won't know which one they're lighting, because if they light the petrol one, boom.
No eyebrows. Yeah.
Exactly. So you'd be like smelling the flag, which, you know, you smell. I don't know
where you were going with that one either. Today we've been quite in sync with which comedy device we were going to head towards, and I was watching you there going, I don't know where this is going.
I don't know what I'm saying. But that's the magic of it, man. It's happening right now, live, unless you're listening to the podcast.
I think you've been sniffing flags, whatever's impregnated that flag.
I was just looking forward to my ISIS holiday.
Hi. I struggle with this. It is tricky. The idea of, is burning a flag wrong? We know where I grew up because I've tweeted pictures from it, which is a smokeless zone around there. So for me, there are rules. Because it was a coal mining area, everyone had coal, right. And then now it's a smokeless zone in that area. But if you're going to burn like a pile of flags, at the very least, make sure there's no hedgehog underneath. I'd say that.
Okay.
That's rule one. But I mean, it's kind of your own fault. If you're offended by the burning of a flag, it's just a symbolic action. If you are, if you take offense at someone's symbolic action, you're partly culpable there. Because, you know, I could just watch someone do something and not be offended by it, and then, well done, you've burned. Because it's not like it's my flag. If someone burns my flag, if you've nicked that flag from me, I'd be like, oi, you dick, bring me flag back. Oh, now I've got to buy a new flag. I'd be annoyed at that.
Yeah.
But these people go out and buy their own flags.
Yeah. If anything, they're helping the economy. Because someone's going to have to replace those flags. I mean, when has burning a flag ever hurt anyone?
I guess if that flag was wrapped around someone, if someone's just like won a long distance race at the Olympics,
and they
wrap the bit of flag, and then someone turns up,
yep, or my flag pants.
Oh, have you got? Yeah,
I got flag pants,
Jerry. I'm going to say Jerry Halliwell's Union Jet dress. Yeah. Quick question. What flag have you got on your pants?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Red Cross?
But liberty. Is it?
Oh, you've got American... I can't judge that. I've got Union Jack boxer shorts.
Do you?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Want to see them? No.
I want to see your flagpole.
There is. The downside is, of course, I mean, it's all very well for you with your American, by the way, not proper American flag or the Confederacy thing.
Yeah, I've got Confederate underpants because I just want to, no.
And I've got Union Jack underpants. The downside is at some point, and let's touch wood, let's hope this doesn't happen, when I say touch wood, that could have gone wrong, but whenever at some point when the Queen dies, I have to wear those at half mast. It's going to get me in trouble. So these protesters, they took to the streets, they burnt some flags. Yeah, I mean, I used to play a lot of Quake 3 Arena on the Capture the Flag. If they did that and captured someone's flag and burnt it, then there seems to be, you know, more of a state.
But I didn't realize that would be illegal in this country. Burning the flag is illegal.
Yeah, well, you do get more freedom of speech over in your native land. I'll give you that.
We do.
Not that really burning flag is speech, but...
I mean, it is obviously, yeah. I mean, because in America, because we had the big controversy over that nut job that was burning Korans and upsetting people, and that's allowed in the United States. That would be a hate crime here, but that's allowed because they just say, no, you can do these things. We don't want you to, but you can do them. You can burn flags still. You can burn Korans. You can draw people that don't. I'm not saying I don't necessarily agree with the going out of your way to offend people to do that. But I still think you should have the right to do it.
I'm all for the cartoons, the drawing. You know, I mean, obviously, I think if you draw a cartoon, it should be perfectly fine. You know, if someone finds offence by it, they've chosen to. I was offended when I paid £20 for that caricature of my face. I do not have that big a nose, but I didn't kill the dude. So, you know, just saying, perspective.
Yeah, you couldn't because your nose got in the way.
That's true.
Saw you coming.
I think
the cartoons. Well, where there's some hypocrisy in France is that the guy, obviously the cartoon thing is terrible, but then the right wing comedian who did jokes on the other side of it and is arrested for hate speech. I think that's wrong. That you can't have that double standard. You either have full freedom to say offensive things and to draw offensive things, or you don't.
So in general, you just think you hate all of France is wrong.
All of France is wrong.
That's why you moved to England.
But the bread is so much better.
The interesting thing about burning flags, though, in America, maybe you could claim that it is against your freedom, your First Amendment, the freedom of speech, because flag... Well, if the person was doing semaphore, then that is certainly curtailing their ability to communicate. Or making it showbiz, depends on how long it burns for. I guess taking offence at someone doing a symbolic action, I genuinely believe it's your fault. We all have a responsibility to not fly off the handle and take offence to, you know, going out of your way to be offended. It reminds me, you know, the film Men in Black, and I take most of my moral lessons from the film Men in Black.
Yes.
The bad guy who gets really angry when anyone stands on a cockroach.
Yep.
It's just a cockroach. Don't get offended by it. Don't get so out. What's wrong with you? I mean, obviously, he's a bad guy. He's an alien. In fact, in that case, that alien was related to some aliens that were, like, genetically similar to cockroaches.
Yeah.
He has more of a valid reason to be offended than any of us do. Because we are not genetically related to flags. You know, people, unless they're really tall and thin with wavy head. So no wonder Russell Brand's an activist.
Did you plan that? Is that pre-planned?
That one's on my piece of paper. That's my computer. That was a joke.
There we go.
If you've got any say on this one, you can call 0330-223-0200. By joke. I mean, you know, vague term. You can tweet at FUBAR Radio. You know, you can pick a definition to any word you want. Mm-hmm. Joking quote marks. And you can email steve@fubarradio.com. Russell Brand joke.
Boom. And bedroom tax.
We've got to do the... Oh, just food. At the end of, yeah, food banks.
Piers Morgan, Jeremy Clarkson.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy, ripping you a news one.
Good morning and welcome to Some News. Steve N. Allen, Eric McIlroy, talking about things that's in the news in this show. I've said for ages, this show needs a gardening feature. If Jeremy Vine gets one with his Radio 2 thing, then we need that as well. And fortuitously, the news provides 56% of Brits... say they are green with envy over their neighbours' gardens. Oh, that is, I get. And you're living right next to it, and you can't move just because they've got a good garden. So yeah. you're up against it. You're in a tricky situation. Thankfully, we can help, because we're joined now by Chris Beardshaw, a TV gardener's on the line. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
So, I mean, this must be right up your street. We find out that just over half of Brits... are green with envy over their neighbour's garden. That kind of makes sense because statistically it can't be much over half for everyone to envy their neighbour's garden.
Well, I don't know. You can still have a great garden and still be envious of someone else's garden. You know, you're right. It's most bizarre because we are a nation of gardeners. You know, everyone else in the world thinks of the Brits as being green-fingered, you know, inherently green-fingered. And it turns out that we've got green eyes rather than green fingers, which is slightly odd. You know, we're embarrassed about how our own plot looks in comparison with our neighbours. But I think it's much more to do with maybe not the content of the garden. It's much more to do with how they use the garden. And if we start seeing our neighbours, you know, using the garden maybe late into the evening, entertaining friends, barbecues, you know, the children running and exploring and that sort of thing, you see activity. And in our garden, we don't have the facilities to promote that sort of activity. Then I think maybe that's the kind of root of why we're quite as envious.
The use of garden. I mean, you don't even need to see your neighbour's garden to be envious of it. The smell of a barbecue permeates, isn't it? Yeah. I remember, it was last summer. We had some nice weather last summer. I was lying there and I just started to breathe in, and there was that kind of that burning meat smell. And I thought, how long have I been lying out here? But it turns out it was the neighbours next door having a barbecue.
Well, maybe if you'd have put a gate between the two, you could have made your own invite and gone round and helped them to turn the sausages or whatever it was. But, I mean, the thing is that as soon as you start to play around in the garden in that way and use the garden as a really good extension of the internal space, I mean, bear in mind, most of us, the garden space that we have at our disposal is 3 to 4 times the footprint of the house. So when you think about how carefully we design the inside of the house and how carefully we consider how we lay the house out, where the seats and the lights and the key kind of features of the house are, we have a kind of disconnect when it comes to the garden. We don't apply the same discipline and the same passion, I suppose, to the external space, partially because we think of the garden as being a slightly complex process that we can't fully engage with. You know, plants have this rather inconsiderate habit of when you put them in, they grow and they change. So it isn't like a piece of furniture which sits still. So like I think maybe we're put off by that.
Yeah. The problem that I also think part of it is because there's no TV outside. A lot of people pay attention to the area around the TV.
Well, do you know what? There are all sorts of technological advances which transform, especially more contemporary gardens. And I did a garden last year at Chelsea Flower Show, for instance, which not only had a TV in it, which had a screen on it, which we could flick into either a fish tank or we could put it onto a fire, but of course also to extend that season when you can get outside into the garden, we had the whole garden filled full of lights. And that's one of the things that you can do is to just start to play around with solar or 12-volt lighting systems, little pools of light to uplight, to downlight, give yourself a bit of moonlight, you know, all sorts of technological systems which are around, which transform the appearance of the space. In fact, there's no reason why anything that's inside can't be transferred in principle to outside. It's the same rules
right.
that apply.
I've seen, you know, whenever I gig in an area that has a lot of council estates, quite often fridges, sofas in that front garden, and clearly they live by your principle.
Well, you know, one of the best gardeners in the UK, Bob Flowerdew, who is the kind of the originator, if you like, of the organic movement, certainly the popular organic movement, he swears by the fact that you can never have too many fridges in a garden. And what he does with his is he sinks them in the ground and fills it full of water, and it's an instant pond. If you've got a pond, then, of course, you can put water features in it. You can uplight the water features. And if you've got a pond, you've got wildlife in the pond which come out and eat the slugs and snails that are damaging all of your prized specimens. So,
yeah.
So even a fridge can be used, if you think creatively, in a garden.
And you don't really need to uplight it. You just need to open the door and then the light comes on.
Well, you see, that's it. And strangely, you open the door of a fridge and the temperature increases because of the extra work the fridge has to do. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you can also combine that with your external TV. You know, you've got your external TV, external lighting sources, you've got your sofa outside, the barbecue on the go, and you've even got your fridge there. You can open the door, add the extra little bit of light, and, of course, it's also got your cool drinks in.
Beautiful. This sounds amazing. You put a roof on that sucker, and I would love to live there.
I think you'd call it a house, wouldn't you, if you put a roof on it? I think someone's already got there before you.
Darn it. Don't bother patenting that one. I thought we were trying to invent things on the show today. That is not one of them. Cool. So, I mean, what's the take-home message here? Is it just to spend more time working on your garden? Is that the light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, do you know, I think that's exactly what we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be spending more time working on the garden. What we should be doing is spending more time sitting in the garden, because really that's what a garden is all about. It's about sitting down, enjoying, relaxing, socializing, having those barbecues and just having friends around, creating spaces where you can have meals outside, that sort of thing. And so that's where I would apply my attentions. And it's all about extending the period when you can get out into the garden. And that's really where some of your lighting systems, your sound systems, these sorts of things really come into play. And this research, in fact, I mean, there was some research carried out by Philips Lighting. And they were interested not only in the fact that 56% of the Brits said that they were envious of their neighbors' gardens, but also what it threw up is that we only spend 50 days a year in the garden. We only visit our garden for 50 of the 356 days, and even then, we're only there a maximum of 2 hours. Put a few lights outside, put those other accoutrements outside to make it more comfortable and more social, and suddenly you've got a space which is transformed, and you'd rather be in that than maybe sitting inside in the house.
Make a lot of sense, yeah. Light that garden and get out there and enjoy it. Well, I know you're a busy man. You probably have, I don't know, maybe a garden to... I know that's the kind of thing you get up to. You probably have a garden to deal with.
I've got one or two, yeah.
but a little cheeky. So thanks very much for joining us and giving us some insider info, Chris Beardshaw.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. So there we go, Mr. Eric. Do you have a garden?
We have a tiny little... I mean, he was talking about running in the garden because we got the kids, put them out in the garden, and they take about one step and they run out of room. There's not a lot of running space in our garden. But
that's why the obesity is an issue in this country.
Yeah, it could be. We tried our hand at having an allotment a couple of years ago, and it was a challenge. I mean, because, you know, you're up against basically... Have you been into the allotment communities before? Have you gone down this garden path?
Is that the same as dogging?
No, I wish it was that exciting. Well, I mean, it would be geriatric dogging because the mean age in the allotment was nearly... In the ground themselves. They were nearly Richard the Third in themselves.
So we were
bringing ourselves in as young people with kids, and to the annoyance of the elder people who had come to the allotment to enjoy not being around other living humans. And basically, we had the allotment for about a year and a half. And we got two eviction notices for not keeping the allotment up to the Joneses' standards.
You got evicted from an allotment.
We got threatened with eviction twice. Then I would have to go out and, because it was supposed to be a family thing, but our kids were young enough that they had no interest in the allotment and doing it, or their interest was like 30 seconds. So we had, in order to, because it was a big footprint of allotment.
And, what were you packing foot-wise?
I don't know. It was big. And, big.
Oh,
and,
big.
But in order to... be able to spend the time and attention on it. We had to distract our children. So we had to bring like iPad type technology to sit them in front of the iPad to watch a movie so that we could work on the allotment, because otherwise we'd spend the whole time chasing the kids. And the whole point of getting the allotment was to have the kids outdoors because our garden is so tiny at home. It was a waiting for Godot exercise in frustration. So to me, a garden represents madness.
Yeah. I hate... Oh, no. Oh, we are going to move on anyway. I was going to say, move closer. I hate gardening so much. Whenever I've been in a situation... I once lived in a place in Crawley, and I was there for a year, and I mowed the lawn once the day we moved out. I can't be bothered. The thing is, right, and no one ever says this. You know when you spend some time in a garden?
Yeah.
Oh, you get all itchy and stuff's on you. You've got to shower straight after because there is stuff that bites you and you get little bits. Look at that wound. That's terrible. But, I got bit by stuff. Ooh, and you get scratched. And you come in and did a bit of gardening and then you look at yourself. Oh, well, now it looks like I've been tortured. Why would anyone want to be out there?
I mean, in the end, I'm not much of a gardening person, and it was all new to me. And I started to kind of enjoy elements of it because you do feel like a level of accomplishment when I had finally cleaned up. Because the person who'd been there before had the allotment for like 30 years and he'd gotten on and wasn't able to tend to it. So when we got it, it was in a rough state.
Right.
And I completely changed it over and dug it up and all that stuff. But at the end, because it was so hard for us to make time to get to, and if we took the kids, they distracted me from getting it done, and we were always on the pressure of eviction, I started to go by myself. And then I would have this like time to just work on the allotment.
But then, oh, was that good?
But then leaving the wife at home with the kids, she was like, no,
we're
not
going to
do this anymore. I was like, here I am. I got my iPad or my iPod on listening to things. So that had to end.
I once managed to... I tried to grow some carrots in a garden and achieved the growth of one carrot. And that carrot... And I realize I'm going to show you a length of something on radio and this might not be the best use of the medium, but it was that big.
Well, that's big.
Yeah.
That's not big.
That was
what he just showed me was
a
not
mouthful.
Big. Yeah, definitely less than a mouthful.
Not the first time And we all know where that's going.
We don't even. You can just fill in those jokes yourselves. Like, it's like a Mad Libs jokes.
Yeah.
Do they have Mad Libs in this country?
Well, I'm aware of them, but I don't think we had them. I don't know. I was in the north. We didn't have a lot.
Yeah, you basically, it's a sheet of, it's a thing you do as a kid. Oh, you did that.
You've got to explain what Mad Libs are in a gardening feature. We do not stay on topic. That is, well, we'll find out what happens in the next one.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Hello, good morning. It is FUBAR Radio. We are talking, I've had one of those moments. Could you tell? I think I hid it well. Where am I?
And I'm working on my umming and on, because you've got more of the background in the whole radio world and sort of pronunciation and not coherence.
That's right. I have a background in radio.
Radio. And I'm more like a normal person.
Okay. What?
And so I speak like normal people do, which is
horribly
inarticulately, uneducatedly, and like the people that Nigel Farage are appealing to. And I'll take anyone's money. But I am an R, and so I'm working on that.
I don't think you need to, though. I think you've got to keep it natural. I'm an R on radio, I think, is quite natural. What I did there with the R, forgot which station I was on. But don't do that. But I mean, an R.
How could you forget?
Something needs to be written down. Oh, there it is. What am I doing here?
You've got a freaking sign.
It's a sign right in front of me. Who's closing these?
We're supposed to be packing the stories in now. We're ramping things up because we're into hour six. No, two, three, four.
Feels like it. Boom. And, let's do it.
For pet's sake. Nevada lawmaker wants medical marijuana for pets.
Finally!
A Nevada lawmaker proposed a bill in the state legislature on Tuesday, I don't know which Tuesday, that would grant ailing pets access to medical marijuana.
Oh, I've been campaigning for this for so long.
And I'd like to get regular pets access to recreational marijuana.
What's the downside? There's no downside, is there? What? What's the worst that can... Right. Drugs. Animals. If animals do drugs... It's not going to ruin their life. They're animal. Right, you watch Jeremy Kyle and he'll be going like, hey, you know, cannabis just means that you get no motivation. You just sit around all day and you do nothing. That's what dogs do. If all of a sudden your dog sits around a day and can't hold down a career, good. That's what dogs.
That's just redundant, though.
Oh, by the way, Jeremy Kyle, picking on people who have no career and sit around all day doing nothing, that is your target demographic. Do not bite the hand that feeds you, Jeremy Kyle.
Especially if that hand is a dog. Or it's a dog.
You're not a vet. You're not a vet, are you? I'll give you that.
You know, it's because of the bite. Oh, never mind.
Getting.
Sorry. I've been medicalizing myself today. Yeah.
I got worms. I needed it. I mean, getting high. All right, getting high can like chill you out, but it does mean you want to eat all the time. That's what dogs do. You would never tell the difference.
You know what we should have done is gotten the vivisection lady back.
Oh, yeah.
The woman who was against animal vivisection to see how she felt about animals.
On drugs.
And then, maybe animals cutting. Like cocaine cutting. See what I was doing there?
Yep.
I don't know if that counts as a joke. Nope. All right. Sam's smiling.
That's a great phrase. We should use that on stage.
But it does not count towards my joke quota for the day.
Five a day.
If I'm lucky.
Yes, but obviously there are some issues with... I mean, we can make... This is the kind of place where, you know what comedians are like. We make light in general of drug use and it's very easy to go, yeah, everyone should be doing it. There are some surveys and some studies that say that cocaine use can be linked to antisocial behaviour and paranoia. It's exactly what cats are like. You would not tell the difference. No downside to this.
How is it even necessary to legislate for this? I mean, if you started slipping your dog a little E, would somebody be able to... I mean, how would they get you for that?
The police investigate if dogs are on drugs.
Do they?
Well, I heard they got some leads.
Oh, God. Did you plan on saying
no.
that in advance?
Why would I plan on that? I've got a career to maintain.
Not anymore. I can't. Can we take do we get commercials? Can we get a commercial break?
We get a new host.
You know what I'd really like are some lights in my back garden. Have you thought about that?
The risk is that people are going to use these pets. Like, you know, you said, like, you want to get the drugs for you.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to be taking their pets You now worry that I'm heading towards a terrible pun, don't you?
No, I'm imagining this, like, to go, because I mean, already I think people go too crazy over their pets. I'm all for pets. I know pets can be a big part of your life, but like when people are like, I spent £50,000 or dollars because my dog needed hip replacement surgery. You know what your dog needed? Dog replacement. I just don't understand that.
Like a car, write it off.
There's too many dogs anyway. Your dog is broken. Just recycle it.
If the value of fixing it is over, is it like yes. two-thirds of the price yes. of buying a new one, it's a write-off.
That's why a pet hamster, 12 quid. Like, I mean, we love the hamster. I mean, I don't love the hamster. My daughter does.
It's a Richard Gere thing. It's a gerbil.
Yeah. It costs £12. It's the perfect pet. And there's no way, if it ever got sick, I'm spending more than 12 quid to fix it.
So you wouldn't buy any drugs for your hamster?
No.
Because... I mean, I don't know what the street value of cocaine is, but it's a bit more expensive than a hamster, isn't it?
Yeah.
If the drugs you're buying... And also, why would you... You wouldn't want a hamster on cocaine. It'd just be running around... you wouldn't know the difference. It would just be going around the wheel nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make it legal, I guess. But it's just basically a way for people to get drugs for themselves.
Yeah, people would be going to the thing like, oh, my pet's really... Oh, vet. And being that kind of like, oh, vet. Doing like a druggy voice, right? Mm. Oh, vet, you got to help me! Like my pet's as sick as a parrot. your pet is a parrot, sir. That kind of that's a little sketch.
I thought you were moving into the dead parrot sketch.
Good. No, we could do that. Okay. Excuse me, miss. What do you mean, miss? I'm sorry, I have a cold, and I would like some drugs for it. So it makes sense. I'm all for this. I'm in favour of this. I think it makes sense for the animals to get. You know, if it helps them in some way, and it won't be bad for them chemically. You know, I draw the line at giving cannabis to a police sniffer dog. Because they are trained, and it would just be like, oh, I can't go away from the smell. It would, it's just cruel. Sniffer dogs are trained. You know, have you ever been near a sniffer dog? Have you seen, if a dog comes near you when you're in an airport or something, you start, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I, yesterday, went to a body shop in Lakeside, as in the body shop, not a body shop.
Right.
I took my car at Lakeside to get the paintwork done. And now it smells of jojoba. No, I took it to the wrong body shop. You know, the body shop versus...
I don't know where you're going with this story to link it into pets or drugs.
Let's all learn together, because I also have no idea. I went to the body shop in Lakeside, and I tried some hand cream that was made from hemp, and I did think, if I were flying to a gig abroad, I wouldn't have used that, because I don't know what sniffer dogs...
I think the hand cream is fine.
But it's hemp.
It's fine.
So the sniffer dogs just sit down, don't they? When they detect the smell of drugs, they just sit. That's why they activate it. So if this dog was given cannabis and smelt itself of cannabis, it would just sit down all day.
Or if you were traveling with your dog and the dog had the drugs, could you get done for that? Because it's the dog. It's the dog's drugs. You're like, it's nothing to do with me, mate. It's medical for him.
But if your dog gets like 7 years in prison, rest of his life. Or if it served them in dog years... Done in 1 year.
Yeah, but I mean, would you have to be? Are there only adult dogs that are? Is it adult animals that get the drugs? I mean, how do you know? Like, you have to be 18 years old to get the drugs.
And by then, they're knackered, aren't they?
Well, is it dog years or real years?
Good point.
I mean, hamster years. I mean, our hamster right now is a year and a half old. So I mean, he's going into golden years. This is it for him.
He's doing some synaptogen. Down. You want to get some synaptogen for it?
All right. We're running out of time. How is that story?
How was that 15 minutes on drug dogs?
This is quality radio.
Quality radio.
Look, I can do a radio voice. Look at that. Quality. No?
All right. Okay. Continues next.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Dinner time, food time, getting hungry, which is interesting because... I think this show needs a food section because, you know, I've watched Saturday Kitchen, and that's the kind of stuff that I think this show needs. And it's the time where, you know, it's midday, so everyone's getting a little bit hungry in the belly.
Peckish.
And then there's a thing that's in the news today. I saw this on the way in, that a survey has revealed that women think about food more than men.
Hmm.
Which, you know, they don't survey me because... I'm very hungry. But so on average, women spend 2.5 hours a day thinking about food. Is that a lot? I don't know. I mean, we want to get to the bottom of this, which is why it's good to be able to speak to behavioural psychologist Dr. Becky Spellman, who should join us on the line. Hello.
Hiya.
Hello. So, right, this came at me from nowhere. I had no idea. Is that a lot of time to be spending about food. A lot of people seem to be reading this headline and going, wow, women think about food loads. That's 2.5 hours a day.
I was really surprised by this statistic. And, you know, I don't think there's that much difference between men and women. It's only 30 minutes in the difference. I think that both genders are thinking about food a lot. I think both of us are acting on it a lot and probably an equal amount. Maybe men just think about it a little bit less than women.
Well, I suppose the difference is, isn't there some really patronising statistic that men think about sex every 7 seconds? And so,
is it every 7 seconds?
It has been for the last 14 for me. So, but what I mean is, if you add all of that thought in, then you need to take up the 30 minutes away. But I thought thinking about food for 2 hours a day or 2.5 hours, whether you be either one, doesn't seem a lot. It seems way natural and maybe not that much for me. I think maybe I think about food more. Is that bad?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the person, because I was surprised and I was like, wow, people are thinking about food way too much. And what I think is that it's because they're actually not planning in advance. Like 60% of people are just spontaneously snacking and spontaneously eating, which I don't think is very wise. That leads to us making some pretty poor choices and letting our emotions guide us in terms of our eating. So I was surprised that it was 2 hours, but, you know, I guess it depends. It's subjective. It depends on you as an individual. And clearly you're spending a lot of time thinking about food.
But a lot of people say, like, oh, I want someone to be really spontaneous in my life. And I would like to think one of the ways in which I am spontaneous is buying chocolate bars. So at least I've got that going for me.
Yeah, it's nice to be spontaneous, but do you feel bad?
Oh, yeah. And then I cheer myself up with some chocolate.
It's great to have fun with food, and, you know, emotional eating is what we do. You know, it's great to enjoy food, but we have to have boundaries around it, because if we leave it to the spontaneous choices and making us feel bad afterwards, that's where the problem lies. And do we eat more to kind of suck up the feeling bad?
Becky, it seems like you might be calling us from the Matrix. We've got a bad line there. Head towards a window, because that always seems to work for me. We've got some bad reception.
That sounds slightly dubious, considering earlier in the show, Becky, he said he spontaneously wants to throw people out the window, but I don't think he means that towards you.
No, I didn't mean you.
Right.
Okay.
But I'll go a little bit closer to the window, but not too close.
Yeah. Yes, for safety reasons.
It's a little bit garbled there. But
So what were you saying? If we want to try and not think about food so much, what was the basic strategy?
There's two things that we need to do. We need to get food prepping, so write everything down, know exactly what you're going to have in advance. Get food prepping.
Food prepping.
It all in advance. Either maybe on the Sunday night, you would prep everything for the week, pop in the freezer, go out to work, pop in the microwave, and you don't really need to be thinking about it so much.
You know that microwave you just talked about? I think it might be on in the background, because we're still having a Matrix phone call, I'm afraid. We've got some bad reception. Imagine now, let's do role play, Becky. I'm me, and I'm thinking about food right now. Oh, I want some food.
So I would like you to try something that I call urfing. Now, urge surfing is like surfing, you're craving urge, like a wave. The waves come, they reach a peak, they get really high, but then they drop again, and they go. So if you don't act on your craving, the craving will actually go by itself. So you need to quit it, notice the whole experience of having that craving.
What we're going to try and do is call you back in case we can get a better line. But meanwhile, we'll ponder this idea of urge surfing. If we can't get you back on a better line, thanks very much for speaking to us, Becky Spillman. We'll try and speak to you again in a sec.
Okay, no problem.
Okay. The Matrix is killing me there. Bo, so...
It was almost like one of those remixed video things. Spoof video, like... Urge surf.
Yeah, joining me on the line is Max Headroom.
Reference. Well done.
Yeah. Urge surfing.
Dragon? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm starving myself here.
Because you are, we've both dieted. I fell off the diet at Christmas. Pre-Christmas, this is going to make me sound like I'm a showbiz self-lover, but because I had some filming to do, I went on a diet last year.
Yep.
And hit that diet hard, lost a couple of stone, it was good. I'll gain it back, but I intended to. It's like I'll slim off for the filming and I'll go back to enjoying life. But you're doing that phase now, aren't you? You're trimming down.
I am at nearly 2 stone down. And plummeting in my enjoyment of life. So, but I've done it. I still don't understand what diet you were doing.
Mash up. Yeah. The 5-2 and a Dukan.
Yeah. I'm just doing a straight low cal. Yeah. And so I'm just hungry all the time. But when I go to America, I'm going.
Are you going to diet in America?
I'm not. I'm gonna still keep it balanced. I'm probably gonna stay off the booze, and not eat after 8 o'clock as much as possible. But
8 o'clock America time or this time?
America, the time I'm in, whatever time I'm in. But I am gonna have a burger. I've got it all planned out. I'm gonna have there's different types of pizza in America because we do pizza properly. So you've got the New York slice.
Europe we don't do pizza properly.
It's an evolution. Like English language has evolved in America to a better level. Food has evolved to a better level. I'm getting hungry just talking about it. Slice in New York versus more of a deep pan in Seattle. Burgers that aren't cooked to shit is the technical term, I think, you do here, because you overcook meat in this country because it's bad. And then proper Mexican food, which by the way, I mean not the food that you would actually get in Mexico. I'm talking about the kind of Mexican food that we make in near the border to Canada, which is very different than anything I've ever had actually out of Mexico.
All the foods you've just listed, because the hamburger, German, right? Your pizza, Italian, and then your Mexican food. I don't know where that's from, but I don't think it's America. What food has America invented?
All of it is. No, because people bring the food to America, and just like you've allowed some cultures to come in here and improve the flavor of food, just like now you're starting to get craft beer, which I know I'm not drinking at the moment, but the surge in craft beer here is so refreshing because it's just a change from the same same old beers and everything else.
No, but my point is, what food did you invent?
Like the Native Americans, I think, ate turkeys or something, corn. I'm not sure. No one cares. But we evolved the food. It's changed. A pizza in Chicago is different than any kind of pizza you'd ever get in Italy. And it's just taken it to a more flavorful level. I am not wrong in this. There's facts to back this up, and I will come back from America.
So we do pizza different here than they do.
After regaining my entire 2 stone.
Yeah.
And I will roll my ass in here.
We're going to thin that door up so you can't come back.
I won't make it in, but I will die happy.
But relatively soon, which is the downside about eight. Yeah. I was thinking, Jay, as a point, what food has America invented?
Hot dogs.
Have they?
No.
Where's that? Where are they from?
I don't know. Well, America was discovered late after most food had come into being.
Oh yeah. So, we missed the party.
We missed the food creation phase. And so all the food was created, and then most people emigrated to America, their ancestors did, and they brought their traditional foods with them. And the flavors, food, just like accents change, the food changed. So we speak English, but we don't speak English in the same old-fashioned kind of slow, inarticulate way that you do.
Yeah.
Have we got a note? Is Becky
back? I've been handed a note, and apparently she took the blue pill. She's still in the Matrix.
Oh, Becky.
Oh, no, sorry. The red pill is the one that keeps you in the Matrix.
Can we talk to Becky again? Is it wrong? Should I call her Dr. Becky? I felt bad calling her Becky if she's a doctor.
She's a doctor of nutrition, but not of phone technology, so we can't. We can't get it.
Slamming the technophones. That is not nice. I thought Dr. Spellman was very nice.
No, she wasn't.
You're listening, Dr. Spellman.
She was indeed.
Is she listening? Is she still out there?
No, she's gone.
We don't know. All right, she's Sam's shrugging.
Sam's no, she's gone from... I'll show you the note.
She's gone from the universe. What does it say?
She's dead.
Line is still awful. Can't get her back. Did she break your heart, Sam? What it is? This was your big chance.
But you said can't get her back.
You land yourself a doctor, Sam. You know, because your career in media is, not really going to go anywhere. I think it came out more true than I meant it to.
In this line, this line is awful, can't get her back. Do you mean you can't get back on the line, or you tried vengeance? he takes this job seriously.
No, it wasn't Becky's fault. I spoke to her, but it was doing exactly the same thing. There was no improvement in the line, so I just thought, let's leave it.
Yeah. But can we get her back again? Because she seemed very helpful.
I will certainly try. You love a doctor, Eric. Every doctor we have, it's like, I want her back.
Because I got my knee problems, and I got my gout, and I've been on this diet. And I didn't, with the gardening guy, he was in a hurry, and we didn't get to talk to him about my, I would have asked him about my allotment and the people that pushed us out of that allotment.
You do realize all of the topics that we discuss on the show are not here for your own personal benefit.
Then what is the point, Steve? What is the point, indeed? I'm going to get a dog just so I can get a little bit of weed and some smack.
If you know what the point is, 0330-223-0200 or tweet at FUBAR Radio, and you probably don't know what the point is. So, yes, well, we were finding out then. I just think we think about food all the time because we are human. We are meant to eat.
Yeah.
We have just created a society where there are too many calories in the food that we have.
The one thing we didn't get a chance to quiz her on was that she was saying, because I said, what should I be thinking about instead of food?
Yeah.
I was thinking she was going to give me another subject or topic to think about. And said she started talking about food planning, which is still, in my mind, still thinking about the food. So
spending
how is
more
she,
time thinking
she's
about
saying,
it.
replace that with that.
Mm.
That doesn't make any sense. So I would have challenged her on that.
My unplanned food, my food improv, as I like to call it, where I just walk into a shop and there's, I want food. I might be eating too much, but I'm not thinking an awful lot.
That is something that is true. When you do not think enough.
That is something that's both in my comedy reviews and dating profiles. All right, yes, if you want to get a message on that, for the amount that we eat, I don't know what your point would be. You could get in touch on @FooBarRadio if you tweet, or email steve@foobarradio.com. On the way, we'll delve into some more news.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Hello, good morning. I'm Steve Allen. That's Eric McIlroy. This is Some News on FUBAR Radio, a show that finds some news and rips it apart and holds it in its jaw and then shakes it until it dies. I've taken the whole concept of... There was a metaphor in there.
Can I, before we go on with whatever
okay.
was planned,
yeah.
We had a breaking news thing last week with the Russian...
On this show, we found Putin, and we did not get the credit for it.
Nope, we did not get the credit for it.
Any points.
We were breaking the news based off reading other people's news coverage of it. I think breaking the news, I thought it meant like, oh, it's not going to be able to get fixed anymore.
We've tried that for eight weeks in a row now.
I know. But this is another breaking news, which is just going to make the Twitter sphere go mental.
Let me give you a sting.
All right.
Sting.
Well, Piers Morgan revelation about Jeremy Clarkson might cause another fracas.
Give you the sting again.
Piers Morgan's revelation about Jeremy Clarkson might cause another fracas. What I love about it is Piers Morgan and Jeremy Clarkson, two people, are pictured together in this independent from the Independent online. They're pictured together. These are two people that are going to make this Twitter sphere that we've been talking about, the liberal bedroom tax loving people.
Yeah.
Having them together.
Mm.
I think the internet will probably break today.
Even without Kim Kardashian's baton.
It's just having them together. Which
the last time the internet broke, Kim Kardashian, naked, front cover of, I can't remember the name of the magazine. Anyway, it's a magazine. She was naked, broke the internet. Today the internet breaks because of that picture with Piers Morgan and Jeremy Clarkson next to each other.
Take it home.
No, you can't.
No, no.
It'll be nice. It'll show how well we work together when you can bring that little puppy home.
Well, there's a couple of different directions we could go with that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm thinking it's got to be about asses.
I was going to go because I was in both situations, the internet was broken by a pair of tits.
Oh,
hey ho, high five!
Two different body parts. Because Kim Kardashian, she's the one with the bubble butt, right?
Yeah, but the naked picture of her, she was topless.
Yeah, but there's two of them. Yeah, I guess two tits.
But there's two things on her bottom. Bum
there
cheeks.
There are two cheeks, yeah.
But normally you don't insult someone by going, he's a right bum cheek.
But I mean, although I don't know if she has two cheeks anymore. I think part of the reason her bum's so big is because she just had it all melted together into one.
It's amazing.
What they can do these days is amazing.
How does she...
And yet still I have to diet.
Okay. What was the other direction you were going to take then? You said there were a couple of directions to take
you went with the other direction.
I went with the
boobies and I went with the bums, which normally...
TMI. So if you have any other jokes that you'd like to talk about that includes Piers Morgan, if you can work together into a joke, Piers Morgan... Jeremy Clarkson and Kim Kardashian.
Cock and balls? I don't know how she fits into that.
I mean, carefully, I'd imagine. Tweet @FooBarRadio. You can email steve@foobarradio.com. You can call 0330-223-0200. There's a thing we like to do every week where we get an update of things that are all crazy in that there America. And joining on the line to give us some info, it's Mary, our friend from America. Hello!
Hello!
I've heard of a place called America, and there's some crazy stuff that happens there. And apparently, little birdie tells me you know some information about this situation.
Yes, this one is actually going to be filed under, the irony. You're going to love this one.
Oh, the irony. They have irony in America, everybody. Cliche.
We
let's move in.
We do.
Yeah, go for it.
in Chicago this week, there was a very large fire that got even larger and had to block off a whole block, a whole city block. And I mean, I saw the video. It was crazy blaze. And what caught fire was a building that, among others, housed a fire extinguisher factory.
No, a fire extinguisher factory caught fire.
Yes.
Physician, and heal thyself.
This is the reason it got so out of control. They also had a poor water supply to put it out. And they had to take 6 trucks and transfer from one to the other to the other until they could get the blaze under control.
To be fair, though, I imagine, yeah, they had a poor water supply, but they probably thought, we don't need to worry about the water supply. In the event of a fire, we'll be like, oh, quick, we need a fire exit. Oh, they're everywhere. So why didn't someone just grab a fire extinguisher and just...
Apparently the chemicals used in them are very flammable.
Wait a minute. Let's get Anne Robinson on Watchdog on this. The chemicals inside fire extinguishers are flammable.
Apparently.
Sweet mercy, we are all going to die. So
the good news is that no one was hurt. Okay, so
God,
we can officially laugh about this.
Yeah.
Because no one was hurt. But it was quite extensive damage, and it took them 3 hours to get the blaze under control.
Maybe they should turn up, pour some petrol or put some fireworks in there as well. It sounds like that's less harmful than a fire extinguisher. Who would have thought this? A fire extinguisher factory burns down, I suppose.
And I mean, what are you going to say to that? The spokesman said, oh, whoopsie, my bad. Yeah.
I mean, so they don't know how it started. It can't be arson, though, can it? Who in their right mind? What an uphill. I mean, I like a challenge, but if I were a pyromaniac, I would not try and set fire to a fire extinguisher factory.
Yeah, they don't suspect foul play at this point.
Oh, well, it's some crazy business. Thanks very much for the update.
You're very welcome.
On to the next story. Dr. Pepper, the doctor of choice for a 104-year-old woman. Wowzers, 104, terrifying. A 104-year-old woman in America put her longevity down to drinking Dr. Pepper. I believe this is because before Obamacare, that was the only doctor she could get.
Social satire.
Well
done. Boom.
I don't understand it, but I said it.
I know. It's accurate.
You know that phrase? You know Dr. Pepper?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, Dr. Pepper, what's the worst that can happen?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, it turns out the worst that can happen is living to 104 years old. That sounds terrifying, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a video of her that you can see in CBS in Dallas-Fort Worth. And she's hobbling along.
Oh, yeah.
She's hobbling along. She's doing all right. She's got her wits.
She said...
She's got her Dr. Pepper.
What part of America is she from?
Texas.
She said...
God damn! Oh, why, at 103 years old, I didn't think I'd make it.
All right, yeah, she's 104. And she thought that at 103, she thought she wouldn't make it. That must be it. I mean, when you get to these ripe ages, you just must assume that each birthday is your final birthday.
I would imagine you think each day is your final day. You just wake up going, how did that happen? What am I still doing here? For God's sakes, let me go.
Why did I buy that year calendar? I'm going to waste that money.
I mean, you know when you're playing a computer game and all of a sudden one go at that game, you just start to really go for a high score.
Yep.
And the high score is way beyond your normal high score. She must be thinking that. She's like, if I quit now, I'm never going to score this high. She's on a run of age. She's chalking up years like you do with a high score. Elizabeth Sullivan's her name.
Yeah, bless her.
She said,
oh, dear, people try to give me a coffee for breakfast.
Is that
not Texas?
Nothing, no. It's more of a slow drawl.
Why people try and give me a cut. Yeah. Well, I'm very sorry.
What was that dog? Was he from Texas?
Droopy Dog. No, I
don't
know.
People try and give me coffee for breakfast,
she said.
Sam, can you get Droopy Dog on the phone?
Well, okay. I'm very, very sorry.
Just coffee? Why? Surely
just
she'd
stop.
Need more.
Just stop.
She'd need more than coffee, wouldn't she? I'm in my 30s, I need a Red Bull to do this crap. If I was 104 years old, I'd need speed, some drugs from a dog, and a 9-volt battery at me, Jaxie. So, which is on my rider for next week, by the way. Write that down, son. She said, I'm going to quote her again, I can't help it, it's in the story. She said of her usage of Dr. Pepper,
I'm very sure. I started drinking them about 40 years ago, 3 a day. Every doctor that sees me says they'll kill me, but they die, and I don't.
Oh, that's
That is harsh.
She is harsh.
That is harsh.
I mean, well done, you've outlived your doctor, but don't rub it in. That's how uncouth. I bet she turns up to the funeral. Pours it in the... Ah,
take that, you piece of shit.
And then just throws the can in. So most of the family are crying and throwing roses on their graves. Yeah. It lowers down. She's just clinking in a can. Or bottle. Even worse, a bottle.
Can someone help me with this lid?
The news stories like this, they're always... Here's my theory. Everyone, if you try and live healthy, someone will go, oh, there's someone in the news the other day who lived to 104 they drink Dr. Pepper. Because if there's a story, imagine this, right? Imagine we are in some sort of news outlet on maybe a radio show that focused on news.
I'm trying to imagine that, but I don't think it will ever happen.
And in the highly professional pre-show meeting where we pitch ideas...
Yep.
Coffee before we get in.
Yeah.
Someone says, okay, we've got this new story about someone who's really healthy and they've lived to 105 years old.
Sorry, I dozed off there.
Oh, so that didn't make the cut. Imagine this one. Okay, there's a new story about, and this is how we talk to each other when we pitch ideas. Okay, got this great new idea about someone who lived to 104 and yet she has a really unhealthy diet.
That's going to be great. Let's take the... Did she kill some doctors on the way?
Yeah, she killed some doctors, and she, for some reason, sounds like the droopy dog from the cartoon that I can't quite remember.
I wonder if she would try and illicitly give Dr. Pepper to her pets as well, and is that legal in the state of Texas?
It shouldn't be, should it?
No,
it's the worst that can happen. It lived to 104 years old. Terrifying.
That's going to be stuck in my head now.
People will quote this stuff. As soon as you try and live healthily, people throw this stuff at you. But no, it's such a rarity that you should be. You know, I'm living my life as a non-drinker with no fun in my life. So it feels like I'm living to 104 already.
Yeah. I think it's great what she says at the end of this. Because, I mean, some of these stories, which is people live longer. How is that a story? I mean, yeah. I guess it's remarkable. But she said her secret to living past 100 is... You just keep living.
That is a genius. Some dead people are going like, oh,
that's what I did wrong.
I've been such a fool.
Why did I stop my heart? That made it so much harder to get up this morning.
Do you know the bit that I like? She even got it right. So basically, she's been interviewed for being really old, and she said that she likes Dr. Pepper, which is very much a product placement, right? She even got a gift basket straight from the CEO of Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, Larry Young. A gift, but this woman lives for 104 years old, promotes your brand across various news outlets, including this here one. Boom. And she gets a gift basket, which is what? Maybe like 6 bottles? She deserves a lifetime supply, which I think for her works out at about 4 bottles.
You know what she should do is get some lights in her back garden.
So... Do you want to try and fit in another story before we do a suck? Because we've got another. We want to.
Why not? Do we have time?
I'll give you a sting. Just a sting, but not a bed.
The height of etiquette. Michelle Obama towers over Japanese emperor as she stumbles in silver stilettos while attempting awkward curtsy.
What is she? What was she meant to do, Michelle Obama?
I mean, now this isn't a racial thing because the guy just happens to be short. I'm not saying short because of where he's from or anything else. I'm just saying short. I didn't even need to necessarily say that because now it makes everything I'm saying sound a lot more racial. Can we cut that?
We cut all the racial. No, but you won't sound racist about him because Michelle Obama's there.
Oh, yeah. So I'm always going to be more racist about her? What?
Think like there's a top Trumps thing.
Okay. Well, she's like 8 feet tall, okay. Right? And that has nothing to do with her race. That's just something else altogether. I don't know what that is. And then he's like... much smaller.
Yep.
So I think she was trying to reach him.
Yeah, what was she meant to do?
But there's video of this, her stumble. And this is it. This is in, we kind of have meshed our hours, but this is in the non-news story.
Yeah.
Crazy. Part of the show, which we didn't really announce this week. Because how is this news that she takes a little bit of a stumble? She's wearing ridiculously high heels, which is just going to humiliate him even more. As a man who is not that tall, there are certain women that do not need to wear heels, all right? And Michelle Obama is one of those women. She can't even walk in them.
Okay.
I am leaning back with indignation right now. Listen to that.
I very much come out on the side of the tall person. No, as a surprise.
Of course you do.
I, as a tall gentleman, I grew it all myself. Don't be jealous. I very much think, I mean, what was she meant to do? Why is it not his fault for getting another emperor to stand on his shoulders in a long raincoat so that it could be the same height? Why don't they do that? No, it's always the tall people. Here's the deal, right? If she was going for a hug, and yesterday I was talking to someone about I don't like hugging, and it makes it seem like I am aloof and physically, you know, I'm emotionally repressed. Yes. And yes, I am, but that does not necessarily mean that my point is not valid.
Okay.
I, as a hugger, right, if you hug someone, basically my problem is if you meet someone for like maybe once, maybe twice, I'm assuming maybe that's as many times they've met.
Yeah, I don't think they're
not
BFF.
Regularly meeting, right? Yeah. Sometimes people go in for the hug after you've met them once. They go, oh, hi, Steve. Yeah, we worked at that thing. Huh? And they do this arm shape for a hug. And I'm like, panic. Oh, they want a hug. Oh, I'll have to go in for a hug. And here's my problem. As a tall person, if a short person wants to hug you, you have to do all the work. You have to come down from the glorious height of up here where the air is fresh. And then you have to bend down to a short person. Why don't they flipping jump? They could jump, legs around my middle. We'll do one of those hugs.
The thing is, you're going to like this, I think, as a recommendation. I think, considering that you work in live entertainment and in radio, you shouldn't really be touching anyone that's smaller than you.
That's a very good idea.
It's not a good idea, considering the back history in this country, and you don't like touching people anyway. And you don't like kids. Not that I should have brought that. That needed to signpost that as clearly as I just did.
I don't like emperors. It came across a bit racist, that one, didn't it?
No, because you can have non-Japanese emperors, can't you? Where's a good emperor? Another emperor?
Star Wars.
Not racist, because he was whatever he was.
Sith.
Was he? No, Sith is what he. Sith's what, like being a Jedi. You don't have to be. You can be anyone and be a Jedi. You could be anyone and be a Sith. It's not a people, is it?
You know, sometimes you say that, and yet they still have pressure groups. What? So, basically,
Nigel
I came.
Farage doesn't like them either.
It doesn't like the Siths. I came up with this idea yesterday, and it's the first time I thought of it, and I think I'm going to implement this.
Okay.
I'm so sick of having to do the bend down to hug someone who's shorter than me that from now on, even work related hugs, I'm going to do the stood up hug. And this is difficult to describe. If you're a tall person and someone hugs you and you don't bend down to meet them at all, you're hugging from up here and then you just kind of hug them around your chest, your rib area, and it's the most patronizing hug you can do. It's like this person who will be a coworker or someone, you know, who wants to be treated as an equal. It's like, you want to be treated as an equal? Back off, because you're going to look like my kid right now. You're going to look like you've just done well at sports day. Oh, yeah, you want to do a hug? There. Pat on the back. Pat on the head. Oh, I'm going to do the stood-up hug with a pat on the head, and I guarantee you in a few years, no one's going to be trying to hug me.
It's going to seem like if somebody is of a certain height that you're just trying to push their head into your genitals.
Is that not what I'm meant to?
I don't think you're supposed to do that either. I think basically we're just going to nix this whole touching thing for you. You're not good at it. You don't like it. Don't do it.
So I'm not meant to push someone's head
who you're not bending over to hug and accommodate. So now they're close. I'm gesturing now. Close to your genital area, and you're pushing down on their head. No.
Yep. Am I not allowed to do
that? No. Oh, can we get, Sam, we need a sexual awareness workshop or something. Harassment in the workplace.
Can
you arrange that?
This whole FUBAR radio show is an education for me. I'm living.
How did it take this long to get to this point for you?
I don't know, I kept getting these things through the post called restraining orders, and I just thought, like, I've not ordered anything, so why am I? Know.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Hello, I'm Steve Allen. That is Eric McIlroy. And we're doing some news if you've missed stuff from earlier on, and we were just saying, you know, let's not blow our own trumpet. The first hour, we felt like we landed the hour quite nicely.
Yes, I think it was a nicely landed hour.
I'm going to be listening to it on the podcast, which is available from all good podcast outlets, if by that you mean iTunes.
And the FUBAR app.
And the FUBAR app, you
which
can download
it. Fantastic. It's a lovely app. You can download that and download songs. Are we doing the plugging portion now? Is it plugging time?
Yeah, let's plug before we do it.
Plugging time.
So that's like closing time by that song. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was pretty clear.
Do you want to count us in? We'll do it at the same time.
The song.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Plug-in time. Let's not ever sing again. Let's just stop that right now.
So, yes, you can listen to the podcast of the radio show, and after that, why on earth wouldn't you want to? By having a look on the iTunes. I think, I was in an Apple store yesterday.
Were you? Look at you.
I didn't get my phone out.
Crossing the line, enemy.
I didn't get my phone out because I thought if they see my phone, all of a sudden all that nice lighting would suddenly go red and the shutters would come down. Whoop, 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 whoop. And it would be like a film.
They knew you were there.
But I, because they've got computers there, you can just go and have a look at. And yeah. I can't. I use Linux, so I can't get iTunes. So I thought, oh, let's have a look on. Let's go in Apple Store and have a look on iTunes. So I searched for Steve space N space Allen. So the middle initial N, Steve and Allen. Thought, what comes up? Surely I'm not. I'm only flipping there.
On iTunes.
Comedy album is the first thing.
Yep.
Which you can buy, but don't bother.
Don't bother, because we don't get any of the money. We both have comedy albums, and the company that produced our comedy album has gone bankrupt or disappeared.
Yep.
So don't buy the album.
We do not make money off the album. Don't buy it. I'm still doing the same jokes on stage. Come see me live. And then the podcast that I've been involved with, including this one, come up, you search for Stephen Allen. So why not head to your local Apple retailer and search iTunes for Stephen Allen if you'd like to see the podcast.
And tomorrow night, you can see Steve live, but not me, because I'm away, at Crack Comedy Tuesday night, some news. And as always, if you say FUBAR on the door, you get in for only £5. Nice. And we have a guest act, Stefano Paolini, is going to be down.
Brilliant.
Very, very funny comic, very good impressionist, and Christian Riley.
He did stuff on 2D TV, wasn't it? Which is like they tried to do a spitting image. About 4 years ago or so, they did an animation show. It was like going to be the spitting image of its day.
Yep.
And I think he did some voices for it.
I'm sure that he did.
Talented, which is a TV credit, and everyone goes, he's been on TV.
Yeah, so he's been on TV. We haven't, but he has, so come see it.
We've both been on TV.
That's true. I was in the Newsnight comedy competition.
And I was once interviewed by Anglia TV News when Lewis Hamilton won some racing.
Well done. All right, that's enough plugging for
this
now.
This is the part of the show where we talk about the problems that people have. In newspapers, the problem pages are filled with things that aren't answered properly. You want proper answers, you should go to comedians, which is why we are having a look at some of the problems. Like this letter. Dear Steve and Eric, I'm not going to do the voices in this one. Although doing a droopy dog voice all the way through would be hilarious, but only for me. The correspondent writes, I'm having regular sex, as opposed to that irregular stuff, which what you put your back out. I'm having regular sex with a girl who offered to be my friend with benefits.
She's living off the door.
because I am just not confident enough to make a move on the woman of my dreams.
Because she's imaginary. Sorry.
That's true, yeah. The woman of your dreams like turns up to work naked and has like five heads. I am 23 and single since a long-term relationship, not that long-term if you're 23, which ended a year ago. So when you were 22, this long-term relationship ended. Not that long. Come on, grow up. You're a young child.
When you're that age, though, things seem long that aren't.
They get shorter.
Yeah.
My ex cheated on me and I was the last to find out. Again, flipping obvious statement. If you're the first to find out, yeah, anyway. Breaking up knocked my confidence for six. A girl I have known for years texted me to say she was happy for us to have no strings sex. You want to do a joke on that one?
She clearly is not a fan of Fifty Shades of Grey.
Nice. There it is. Yeah. Nice. But a mate told me to be careful because this girl was telling people she was trying to get pregnant. So you know what the solution is. I'm just going to put the marker there because we know what the answer is there right away. But we don't want to say that yet. So she was 26. It was just as well I'd been warned, as she twice gave me condoms which split. And that's why I was arrested for drug smuggling. Had a great flight, got high on drugs. Once I clocked onto what was happening, I told her there was no way I wanted a kid, but I still don't trust her. A girl has started coming out with my group of friends and gives me butterflies whenever I see her. I think I'm falling in love, but blow it every time we meet. Well.
This guy writes amazing letters. Yeah, I mean, you've got to give him that.
This guy's setting me up for the... so many of it. It's like he's heard the show and go, let's walk him towards sexual things. She is 20, I think. You want to check, by the way,
That is very important to get that right.
Because effectively, you've just written a letter saying she looks 20. So we all know that does not stand up in court. But I get so tongue-tied when we meet, I cannot bring myself to make a move on her because I'm scared that she will turn me down. I end up going around to my friends with benefits for sex. Then I worry myself sick in case she manages to get pregnant. I tell her every time to be careful. I want to stop, but I don't seem to be able to control myself. It is all because I do not have the girl I really want. What's the info? What's the advice there, Mr. McElroy?
I mean, he's getting a little. So, I mean, that's good. It's always nice to get a little. Yep. He's got dreams. And he's good. Got some. I mean, he's not the quickest. Not the quickest apple on the tree. Let's put it that way. I mean,
should we put it that way? Because that's.
I don't want
a phrase.
I don't want to. I don't want to mix my kettles. But I mean, I don't know. So yes, he needs to take. First off, he needs to take charge of the contraception. If he doesn't want to get pregnant and he wants to keep having sex with this woman, or he needs to have sex with her in ways that do not lead to pregnancy.
That was my suggestion.
And, you know, whatever ways those are. I wouldn't know because I have very powerful sperm and made two babies. So don't ask
but
me.
You know
what?
I mean,
you're lucky. I would say, you know, do a pee test after this, Steve.
Oh, I always do.
You could be pregnant.
I always.
Very powerful. Sam, watch out. Can't be too careful. I mean, he needs to ask this girl out and then start having sex with the other one.
No, yeah, because what he's doing...
I don't understand how difficult this is. He must be have some attractiveness to him or some qualities, or else he's got a gigantic cock because he keeps splitting condoms. He's got some attributes. I mean, I'm just putting my hands up here. I don't think I've ever split a condom.
Oh, putting your hands up, that'd do it. Now, the... Oh, I shouldn't be allowed out. This stage of the show where I have to wake up early for a show and then have that much caffeine all the way through it. Yeah. Is that just, yeah.
I think
so
it was...
He's playing it wrong. What he's doing, he's too scared to ask the woman out because he doesn't have confidence. And then he goes and has sex with friends with benefit woman who wants to get pregnant. What he should do is ask the woman out because he is buoyed by the confidence of the friends with benefits woman.
Oh, okay.
And he should go like, hey, baby, do you want to go out with me sometime? If she says no, you go, that's all cool. I got to go and have some sex with my friends with benefits.
See, I think that maybe he should stop having the sex with the friends with benefits because that's deflating some of his energies. And if he keeps his energy stored up, then he's going to have that driving him towards a new friend with benefits or friend with more than benefits.
Or not friends.
Or not friends, just...
Just benefits? No.
No, that's... We wouldn't... Well, you know, not with the Tories in power.
Food banks. Do you want to do the second story?
Right.
We've got time to correct
quickly.
Someone else's
problem. Dear Eric and Steve, I've been having sex with a guy for 6 months behind my husband's back, but I feel so guilty I told my mum.
Does he not wake up? Carry on.
To my horror, she said that he could be my half-brother. And I'm pregnant.
Dun, 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 dun.
I've been married for 5 years, and my husband works away a lot, so it's his fault, really.
Mm.
Our sex life is dull, and he gets uncomfortable if I suggest anything a bit different. So we just plod on in the same old way. This does not seem right when we are only 29 and 32. Love, your life's over. You're old. I received a friend request from a friend, from a guy who was friend of a friend on Facebook. No,
what?
He wasn't friend of a friend. He was your family member, and that was where the relationships were. That's how he knew. That was the connection.
That's how Facebook tracked you down.
When Facebook has the same, when you saw the little family tree, and your mum was there, and then him, and then you on the same freaking page.
And you've got the same surname. That's kind of shit as a clue.
There was an instant attraction. Maybe the attraction of familiarity. Conversations were flirty right from the start. I thought about him all the time, and I could not wait for the next contact. He, too, was married, but also in a dull relationship with a boring wife who wasn't interested in sex. Eventually, we decided to meet up to see whether the reality matched the Facebook image, which it never does.
Never does. Picture from, like, 5 years ago. So it's the man who uses a headshot from 4 years ago for his Edinburgh show.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to change that picture. Yeah. Anyway, we arranged to go to a hotel where we... I know a guy who can get a good deal on headshots.
Oh, I thought you meant sex in a hotel.
it happens all kind of at the same package. We arranged to go to a hotel where we could not see anyone we knew. My husband was away as usual. I knew it was my Facebook guy the moment I saw him. Well, yeah, because you recognized his photo.
He reminds me so much of my dad.
He looks...
Wait a minute.
He was taller than I imagined because he looked really short on Facebook, but otherwise exactly the person I love talking to, really fit and with a sparkle in his eye. We had dinner and chatted later. This is going on a bit, isn't it? Okay.
Well, don't stop now. Let's get into the good bit.
Okay,
they kissed.
Later we sat in his car and kissed, and he said what a wonderful evening we'd had, and I hadn't felt so special in years.
Yeah.
The next time we met, he'd booked a room, and we had wonderful sex. It became a regular arrangement, and life was exciting again. I felt bad about cheating, though, so I confessed to my mum. and she wanted to know all about the guy. Well, she sounds quality.
Yeah. So really, tell me about the guy.
Tell me about it. I could see the more details I told her, the more uncomfortable she became. She told me my dad had an affair while she was pregnant, so this runs in the family, and the woman also fell pregnant and had a little boy. The dad saw him a few times when he was little and let the contact drop. All the details fitted that my lover is my half-brother. I stopped all contact with him, but I'm panicking now I'm pregnant. The baby could be his, and as the dates could be right. I've also been having sex with my husband. Oops. But I am so worried about the health of the baby if the father is a blood relative.
You know that phrase, he's a brother from another mother? That is exactly what she has had sex from.
I mean, that is bad luck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know what to say. It's a bummer. I mean, you play with fire or your brother's penis, you're going to get burned.
I'm not sure that your metaphors today, it's...
I'm coming up with new metaphors.
If you would like to get your problem solved by us, you can email steve@fubarradio.com.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Good morning, hello, good afternoon. I always do that,
always. It's almost like it's planned.
Oh, the Wednesday repeat, they should go out an hour early and then I wouldn't make that mistake. That's all I'm saying. I'm Steve Allen, that's Eric McIlroy, and we head towards the end of the show. Oh, man alive, we better do this in the space of about a minute or so. Sam, how did the show go?
Very well today.
Really?
Pleased with it, yeah.
That's the happiest you've ever been, what?
Yeah, that was
I'm just rushing, I'm getting on with it.
We had a quick answer.
No
time, we had a phone call from an expert we couldn't hear a word from.
It was,
what? That business, yeah. Right.
But if you listen to the podcast, you'll have never heard it.
Oh, is she going to be
gone? Is she not going to be in the podcast?
Well, it's up to you, you decide. But that's just an idea I'm putting out there.
We did talk about her and stuff. So
that's true.
Kind of like the missing.
Yeah, okay.
Because the work that we did around that phone call was hilarious.
It was award-winning. Sony award-winning.
So yeah, no, maybe it shouldn't be in the podcast. Good point. Well made. Valid.
We'll let you make that decision for us.
So in the space so we've got a minute to do definitive word. Give it. I'll go.
Shall I just do one then?
Yeah.
A poll has revealed that mums would rather hear about politics from Philip Schofield than Ed Miliband. Does this say more about you, the UK public, or Ed Miliband himself?
Or Philip Schofield.
Well, perhaps.
Sadly, it just says a lot about society, doesn't it? Of course, we would. Do you know Philip
Schofield? Which one's Philip Schofield?
He's the one who wasn't Gordon the Gopher. Out of Philip Schofield and Gordon the Gopher, he was the one who didn't have a hand shoved up his... Well, actually, I don't know.
All right, it doesn't help me. Either way, Ed Miliband sounds irritating. So, yeah, not hearing from him makes sense. I mean, I voted for Boris, so I'll do anything in the ballot box. I don't know what I'll do, but if I get that man's voice in my head... I might UKIP this shit up. I don't know.
We started this show with you with a tweet that you did about Tories. You read your own manifesto. Oh, slam. And all of those left-wing people were following you on Twitter going, he's our hero, Eric. And you just finished with Ed Miliband can't stand and want to vote for Boris.
Yep.
Well, say goodbye to those Twitter things.
I did it for the retweets and it worked.
Beautiful. I think that's the end of the show, isn't it? Sweet mercy. That's how you do it. Why do we mess around for these hours? We could just do one link and go home. Beautiful. See you next week for more of the same. Raise on the way. Enjoy the day and stuff and stuff. Oh, podcast and stuff.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some bullshit.